This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Hello, good morning. I'm Steve N. Allen. This is Some News on FUBAR Radio. Well, look, this is bizarre. Normally, I would be dressed. I would be dressed by Eric McIlroy. It's a thing we do before the show. It's an intimate, warm thing. People say, how do you get that chemistry on radio? And I say, we dress each other. And it gets kind of weird, and then they walk away, which is odd. Eric McIlroy, hello!
Hello!
You didn't think I was going to be here today and stuff, it's weird.
I know, and I wasn't here last week, so I'm back.
Yeah, he's
with
back.
With a vengeance.
Last week we had Luke Tolson, but he's here again today! Because there was a double booking! It's effectively why there are three people on the show today.
Because no one told me you didn't need me!
We always need you.
I should explain, the idea was for you two sexy chaps to do this show, and I wasn't going to be here because I was meant to be off in Switzerland, but I don't really pay attention to my own diary. I don't fly out till tomorrow, so I just crash this party.
Yep.
Baby, I'm back.
Three-way.
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't know my opinion on three-ways, have a look on the internet. There's some stand-up that I do about the maths of threesomes. I do not come out in favour of them. So this is the start of the show, which means we get Sam in as well. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Look at this. It's all happening. It's four people. This is crammed. This is sweaty.
It's so busy we can't even see each other. I have no idea what Eric's doing over there.
Who's talking?
You've got no idea what Eric's doing over there. Not much.
I haven't finished. Steve didn't finish dressing me. Yeah. don't look away.
That is not a fader. Don't push it up. So, the start of the show, as we always like to do, just get a sense of where this show's going. We've got no idea. I've got some energy drink that's going to kick in. This is going to be fun. Sam, you're the backseat driver of this ship in many ways.
Yes.
It's one of those odd ships with a helm near the back. Nothing wrong with that. So you get to tell us what kind of directions we're going to be taking in this show, where we have a look at the news, what kind of stuff we're going to be dealing with.
Can I start at the back and then work my way forward? Is that
okay? That's exactly how Eric dresses me, yeah. Yeah.
So, of course, the final hour, we'll be getting into the feature stuff. We'll do Agonise.
Yep.
You guys kind of become agony uncles and give advice.
Or aunts, we're not sexist.
Well, yeah,
just
okay.
Just because I'm a dude, it's fine.
Right, we'll go with agony aunts then. But you're giving out advice.
Yeah.
Whatever gender you are, that's what you're doing. And better advice than that woman in the sun, I always think, as well.
That's true. Or bloke in the sun. I've not had a prod. I don't know what she's got down there. I don't want to know what she's got down there either.
We'll try and do the definitive word. We didn't really do two. We think, did we get to one
question?
We got
one of them last week, yeah. Yeah, we overran slightly. There's three of us in as well, so this is going to be overrun central.
I go away for 1 week, and it just all falls apart. The structure that we've carefully crafted over the last...
But it does mean less work for me this week, because I'm just going to recycle a definitive word from last week.
Beautiful. So, yeah, finger on the pulse of topical comedy.
Don't give it away, man. Don't show the working.
So in the second hour, then, what have we got to look forward to?
We're going to be talking Oscars, of course. It's happened overnight, and we'll be speaking to Orlando Parfitt.
Now, that's got to be a made-up name. I was looking at that. Surely, if I had to make a name of maybe a villain or an alter ego that was my evil twin, they'd be called Orlando Parfitt, wouldn't they?
It's such a good name, isn't it? Perfect, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of made a face on when I said good name. Is it not a good name?
No, it is, I guess. Orlando, I mean, he's not listening right now, is he?
No.
Is it he?
He's
I don't busy. See gender, I don't judge. But yeah, Orlando Parfitt, I don't know, it sounds like it's half of a meal or something.
He knows his stuff anyway. He's a movies editor at Yahoo, so...
Fair enough.
He's been watching films. That's all that matters.
Yahoo, wow. Should we just keep mentioning Google to him and make him cry?
Bing.
Good try.
Bing. Let's not mention Bing. He'll be fine. Mention Lycos. The guy will jump in there. And what's happening in this hour? The serious news.
Yes. I guess you're going to be tackling, racism in football, the biggest story of the week.
Yeah. We're going to have three white guys in the studio talking about racism.
Oh, yeah.
What could go wrong? And also, I think we should mention Oscars. I'm ready to go with Oscars. Boom, I'm ready. Ooh, I'm ready. So we're going to at some point do some kind of chit-chat about Oscars. So thanks very much, Sam. It looks like we know what we're doing now. We'll have a crack at this. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Sam over there.
Hello. Bye.
No one cares. It's a three-way today, which is an odd situation we've never normally found ourselves in. Last week, we didn't need it to be a three-way, Luke, because we found a nice way of not needing Eric. Oh, dude, that feels...
That's a bit harsh.
That's harsh right there, isn't it?
It's early still.
Did you get to listen back to last week's show?
I haven't had a chance to, no. I had some technical issues and I haven't been able to listen to it.
Well, I think, Luke, would you say we missed him in an emotional and warm way?
Yeah, for the first minute and a half of the show, it was pretty tough.
I did call in the second hour just to make sure you guys still knew that I was out there. So
yeah, is it too late to listen back? The shows are on for a week on the app, aren't they?
Yes, they're just for a week. That's
just too late.
Gone,
which means you don't get to listen back to last week's show and hear Eric. You had a new joke. It was amazing.
I did.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
You know the underground joke?
Oh yeah, I did have a joke.
So before
I'm on one new joke a week.
But I don't
basis as
get
a diet.
That joke. I mean, I get it, but I don't think it works as a joke.
It doesn't work as
I
a
know,
joke.
No, well, okay, that's not fair because I've seen you do it live and it got a laugh. But that doesn't
it
necessarily
was one. You're
mean,
right. It was one. But yeah,
because what is it? Because say the joke.
Wait, we're supposed to be talking about world events.
Do the joke.
News. Why are we? I talked about the fact that I was disappointed when Boris Johnson became mayor.
Yeah.
That the first thing that he did was he banned drinking on the tube.
Yeah.
Which didn't even work. It didn't stop anyone from drinking. It just pushed it underground.
But that doesn't make sense.
Pause for laughter.
That doesn't.
Why doesn't it make sense?
Because he's driven it overground. He's driven it
because you don't drink underground anymore like you used to.
You still do see people drinking underground.
A lot less.
But they're sneaking it. That's the pun.
Less.
It's a pun. I don't do puns normally.
Have you ever thought to yourself, what would it be like to be a comedian? There must be so much fun with it. And this is exactly what it's like. The logic and detail and semantics of a joke.
Fact is, it doesn't matter if it always makes sense. As I tell Steve, jokes don't always have to make sense as long as they get a laugh.
Yeah.
And
but
it did get a laugh.
That is also the excuse that Jim Davidson makes about a lot of his material. I guess a lot.
And he is a very successful comedian.
Yeah, and a nice link into one of our early topics.
Yeah, we'll deal with racism in this hour. But this is not racism. This is xenophobia. What we did last week when we were chatting about stuff. I'm going to play Eric because I want you to bring you up to speed. I'm going to play you a clip of how we honoured your memory last week on the show.
Kind that you were thinking of
this.
It
is the chat that we had.
Hey, it's good. I'm your guest, Eric McElroy.
You are. Yeah. Oh dear.
I have to do that sort of really annoying, high-pitched, whiny American thing.
He will listen to this back, though.
Yes, so I think he's listening at the moment.
Yeah,
with
he's
his,
giving
with
it
his
some.
Kids.
Oh my God! Is it my voice is like that? What the?
So he'll be listening.
If only they knew how they sounded, I think then that would be a big way forward for the American people.
It would just rein them in a bit. You'd be like, come on, let's not be so boastful.
We're the best country in the world!
Listen to yourself.
You know, like when you play your recordings of how you sound, do I sound like, oh my God, do I sound like that?
So we should just record America.
We should just play it back to them. They're like, oh my God, we sound like that? Oh my God, that's really annoying.
Oh my God, I'll talk again.
No wonder everyone's so, yeah.
I've got a really quiet co-host next time Eric's back. So that is what happened when you weren't here. Eric, feedback. Beautiful. Achieved.
I don't talk like that at all. I think you got my voice pretty accurately. So.
Well, a lot of it was, Steve, I was expecting you not to be here, Steve, so I thought the first couple of minutes of this show was going to be me and Eric trying to rinse out yawn.
Do it. Go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric and Luke doing the Steve impression.
Mr. Steve Allen.
That's wrong.
That's breasts.
And the great thing about that is I've not done that material on this show, so no one has any idea why you're mentioning me in breasts.
Why.
But it just seems right.
It just seems so right.
The radio voice.
Hello.
You do realise the radio voice isn't slow down.
It does. I've got a really old radio.
All right. Doesn't make any sense. Jokes have to make sense, Eric. We've been through this.
And the batteries are dying on the radio, which makes it sound slower.
He's just pushed radio listening underground.
You don't understand about that joke. It's just a pun on the word underground.
Oh, no, I understand puns, and I understand...
Wowzers. So, listen, here's the dealio. As we head into the rest of this hour, we're going to be trying to deal with some of the serious issues. We'll see what's been happening in the news. It looks like we're going to deal with two of the worst things in the world in the next section, racism and football. We'll deal with that next.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McElroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Good morning, I'm Steve N. Allen, joined today by Eric McElroy and Luke Toulson as we delve into the news. Fans identified by Met Police after Chelsea appeal. So this is it's going to be the awkward turtle story, isn't it? This is awkward because it's going to be three blokes and we are, can I say white? I don't know. We are something. We are three blokes, we are white blokes, and this is just, we're going to be talking about race. So this is going to be that delicious level of awkwardness. No one can tell because this is radio, but we're going to have to do that thing where you say something that's a bit dodgy and look over your shoulder first. Even though we know there is just us three in the studio.
Well, there are a lot of people listening outside on the street, as there normally are, our protesters.
So, three of our protests. We get them every week.
Every week.
I call them fans, but that placard does not support my work. Three men are being sought in connection with an incident of alleged racism. Now, do we have to say alleged racism? Because they chanted, we're racist, and that's the way we like it. Can we not drop the alleged? That's racism, isn't it? If you do something and then go, I'm a racist.
I mean, it is a terrible situation.
I mean,
everybody's seen the video, I think, by now, pretty much, of, you know, them pushing the guy off the train twice and then singing the song at him. But I would imagine there's some people who are watching that situation, and it's as awful as it was in this country, they're probably sitting there thinking, well, yeah, but the guy was French.
And that's the reason why that's perfectly fine, is it? or if you're in London, you'd be thinking, yeah, but maybe he was trying to get on before other people got off, in which case... That's fine. That's the bigger crime that you see. Yeah, so football, it's difficult. I'm not a football supporter. I'm not a fan of the football. Eric, you're not a football supporter.
I am not a football supporter or fan of it, but worryingly, my son does support Chelsea. Should I be concerned?
Yes. Why does he support Chelsea?
For the racism, surely.
He doesn't like black people. No, he just thinks it... Originally, he told me it sounds cool. That was what it was a few years ago, and he stuck with that.
Did you say he was seven?
He's seven now, yeah. He's been a supporter for a few years.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You pick the team. Unless you are following your father's team or the team where you grew up, you tend to pick the team that's successful. And Chelsea
And we live in kind of a Chelsea-ish. Yeah, we live in Chelsea.
I just do this is part of my charity.
And his
work
real
here.
Dad is John Terry. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You've got it's very
I
tricky.
To go off topic, but is there a particular American sports that are associated with racism?
No,
just all
none.
Of them.
Nothing
none.
Particular. Sure.
I would guess
just not
the
basketball.
Most racist one. I don't know. I think
no. So it's not a problem in America associated with sport.
Just rifle shooting, maybe.
No, it's just general shooting.
Just general shooting
of people of certain. Yeah,
police shooting. That's the sport.
The police turned it into a sport, which is inappropriate. But
what was inappropriate was also the commentating they do on it now. That's what's wrong.
No, I'm sure there is racism in sport in America, but I don't follow it enough. But yeah, but you're a football supporter, so tell us why you're a racist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the thing is, when you threw it to me just before the show saying, you know, football is racist. Well, football isn't racist in the sense that rarely anywhere else in society are black people as celebrated as football players or as well remunerated as football players. So I think that there isn't necessarily a problem there.
So the game itself isn't racist.
The supporters are in a lot of cases horribly racist, and whether they
as opposed to that nicely racist way that other sports have, the quaint racism that you would get around Crown Green bowling, for example.
Yeah. Okay. No, exactly. There's a lot of ageism in that as well. But I think the problem is, obviously, there are people who have very ignorant, horrible views, and they have found football to be an environment where they can express that.
But why is that, then? As you were saying, your point there kind of doesn't really have good overlap, that you have a sport that is a meritocracy. It's just about ability. But then the supporters have an element of racism. How do they enjoy a sport? If they're racist, how do you enjoy a sport?
There was that great, one of the many great things that came out of this incident in Paris, which was the way the sort of internet reacted to it. One of them was the people who were kept tweeting the squad photo of the youth teams in Chelsea, which are predominantly black. Just going, you guys are not going to enjoy the next 10 to 15 years of supporting Chelsea as all your best players are black. But there is that just, if we didn't already know, the illogicality of racism, the fact that these guys will have been cheering the names of numerous black players over the years, but then if they meet a black person in the street can behave in the abhorrent way that they did.
So maybe you've got a good point about him being French, Eric. Maybe
that was it.
Maybe we've totally missed this story.
You'd think if it was just a group of people that happened to be racist that have gone to a sport, you'd think they'd be more drawn to cricket because they all wear white.
You do understand that racism, I'm going to go out on a limit, it's not about what you wear,
Oh, see, I'm so unracist. I didn't even know what it was about. That's how unracist.
You're wearing that red jumper because you're apologizing in many ways for what your ancestors did.
To the Chinese?
How amazing was that? The French dude, though, to get, because obviously they only started filming. He'd done it, maybe tried to get on a couple of times before as well. But we know for a fact that he tried to get on twice. And once you've been pushed off by horrible people who I would avoid, like, you know, the plague anyway, to then have the balls and the courage to go, no, I'm going to get the fuck back on.
Yeah. I think you're forgetting how rude French people can be in general. Right. And having been to Paris a number of times, that's without the singing, that's just normal behavior.
Yeah, he was. The carriage was just full, and he. Yeah. And did you have you seen the clip that West Ham have some West Ham fans put out before their game yesterday, where they showed a little vine of a black dude walking along beside a train and just going, "I'm going to support West Ham," and then these two white guys in the train going, "Hey, we're West Ham supporters. Get on here, come on here." You know, it's been tweeted. You know, fight hate with comedy. Sorry about West Ham. Genuinely true. I was hanging out with my son this half term, and we were. That makes sense. I sometimes forget. I don't give enough context. People are going, "Well, of course that you're hanging out with your son." My son doesn't live with me. He lives with his mum and Tony. And we were on the tube, and I was just messing around, and we were going through the station West Ham. And I said to my son, which football team lives plays near here? And he went, Chelsea. Oh, no, mate. No. West Ham. The clue was the question.
He knew what to do in terms of retaining a seat on a tube train.
Oh, yeah.
That's your move. Keep pretending you like Chelsea. You get to ride on the train. But you make a good point. I don't like football. So there is something. The noise of a crowd kind of puts me on edge. That kind of noise. Obviously, I can't. I've got vocal range, but I can't do the audio sound of like 20,000 people. Mm. But that sound just kind of makes me all edgy. If you get some blokes on a tube train who are chanting things, I would get myself off of that carriage, let alone be pushed off. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to leave it to that. I'm going to get the next one.
There is nothing as threatening when you just happen to be on a train, and then all of a sudden, you know, I didn't realize I'm near a football ground here, and a whole bunch of people get on, and it's a horrible.
I sit there with my hoity-toity face reading a book. Oh, it never goes well. Oh, I have that vibe.
Another ironic thing about it was, of course, Chelsea, for PR, had to massively defend themselves or criticise this. And one of the things they had to do for that to happen was their club captain had to come out and say, "We're not racist." It's a real problem when your club captain has been convicted of racism.
That is a tricky thing, isn't it?
It's almost the very definition of irony, is John Terry coming out saying, "We're not racist."
He's not racist, John Terry says so. Good, yeah. And also, if you'd like someone to back up your moral fibre about not sleeping with other people's wives, get John Terry up there.
Yeah, he'll be like, "Yeah, let's do it, he's absolutely fine." Yeah.
So I think we've dealt with, I'm not sure what the upshot of that is. Have we dealt with racism?
We've dealt with
racism. Shall we move on to the next story? Let's do it. Racism. This is UKIP. Now, what? Wait a minute. Hold off. There's a story that links UKIP and racism. Surely the press have never run this angle before. You can walk us through this one, Eric, seeing as you are a UKIP supporter.
Yeah, I will. I wanted a free balloon once. What can I say? I had to sign up. A councillor was expelled by UKIP already after saying that she had a problem with Negroes.
Careful about it. You know that there's a whole thing, but you know when someone says something really bad? Don't quote it exactly all the way. I know that's fine there.
I'm giving the way she said it. Not saying that's my acting range there. She's insisted she's not racist, but does regret her comments.
This is a lovely line that you often hear a lot of people saying, like, "Oh, I wasn't being racist." You've taken it out of context. The context of what she said is that she doesn't like these people. No, she has a problem with these people. Yeah. What a great way. Yeah, I'm not a racist. I just don't like people based on their race.
I mean, obviously, the word is a touchy word politically. And so it's one that you're going to want to use carefully in any context.
The kind of word that someone earlier on before a show in a coffee shop would say, "Whatever you do, don't say that on radio today." That kind of word.
That kind of word. I'm reading what was in the Metro. If it's in the Metro, it's fine to say. But the reason it was a problem isn't necessary. Using the word is obviously a touchstone as a problem, right? But what was the lead into her sentence was, "I really do have a problem with these features. Yeah. Saying these particular features. So it's saying, I'm not racist, but I just don't like the way these people look.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's all right, as you mentioned already, is not based on the way they dress.
Yeah. I think, it's all right. I'm sure at some point John Terry will come out and back her up, so this one will be fine. But, I mean, it is true, though. It is too much of a standard go-to thing. I've talked about this before in other places, about the fact that if we just keep saying that UKIP's racist, all you're going to do is entrench UKIP supporters into going like, oh, people are attacking my UKIP. I'm going to be a UKIP supporter, a hardened UKIP supporter. What you actually need to do is spend some time talking about the policies of UKIP. Mm. And saying, do you like an NHS? Well, maybe calm down about this whole immigrants idea and stop voting for someone who's going to screw up your NHS. All those free drugs that you're on. How about if you like, do you like your free drugs more than you hate foreigners? Weigh that up before you decide to vote UKIP.
Are you implying that the press don't go further enough into the actual details than go for the more salacious stories?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
It's not as much fun to talk about actual policy.
Yeah.
It's more fun to talk about these trigger issues.
Yeah, tricky. Oh, awkward. I just like my free drugs. But then, and if you've ever had a maternity leave, you know, maybe UKIP's not your party because they're hardly in favour. Those are the policies that you should be looking at, but it's just so easy to go. So the problem, I mean, we do topical comedy stuff, and it's so easy to, if there's a UKIP story, your punchline is racist. If there's a racism story, your punchline is UKIP. And it's too easy, and it needs, you see, now we're discussing comedy again, but I genuinely think you're making the world a worse place by doing the easy joke.
Me.
No, just you. No, I like your joke about underground. It doesn't work, but it's
fine. But it's a very valid point that obviously a big part of the new voters, people who are moving towards UKIP, are the working classes, a lot of Labour people are worried about losing the Labour vote to UKIP. And these their policies don't in any way, a flat tax, you know, doesn't in any way support, you know, the working classes or the hard-working families we're now meant to call.
The struggles of the working class. Boom, over here. Thank you very much. I'm from the north. I'm working class. And I was talking about this, and someone said, oh, no, but you've socially climbed. No. I might have changed my accent slightly. If you look at how much I've been earning, I have not socially climbed. I'm still very much...
You're barely working.
And I have no class. Boom. so that's the thing. The UKIP should be just stealing the Tory vote, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but it seems that because of the anti-immigrant stance and the anti-Europe, they seem to be this sort of man of the people, where Nigel Farage is anything but the man of the people.
So the problem here is, I guess, there's this strong left-wing vote that is slowly moving its way across to UKIP because of this perceived issue with migration, and this could end up weakening the Labour vote, weakening the left-wing vote, and do you know who I blame for all this? It's the immigrants, isn't it? Because if they weren't upsetting all the working-class people, is that where we got to on this?
Can we just check? Is that right?
As an immigrant to this country, I don't think it's all us. I don't think it's all us.
A really interesting point, which I first realized, or I didn't first realize, someone else made the point, is that the Republicans in America, who are obviously very anti-immigrants, or that's part of their stance, whereas, of course, a lot of the immigrants who come into America are very religious, are very family-focused, actually share a lot of values with the Republican Party. And, of course, it's a hugely growing demographic. If the Republicans went after that vote, they would stay in power. It'd be exactly the same if the Tories, a lot of the family values that they are associated very closely with a lot of the Asian immigrants who come over here, who actually tend to work very hard, their marriages tend to last a lot longer than British marriages. And so actually the right should associate with immigrants, as they share a lot more values than they do with the actual British indigenous people.
But in both the Tories and the Republicans, you're looking for a level of open-mindedness and nuance that is lacking from that side of the argument, unfortunately. But no, you're right. I mean, they continue to alienate those groups, which are shift, especially in the U.S., towards voting for the liberals, the Democrats. But in this country, I don't know if there's been a shift towards where the migrants are being drawn politically.
I love, by the way, whenever we talk about the hatred of migrants, you always go, well, as an immigrant, do you think in any way you are subject to the kind of prejudice that makes people, no one looks at you and goes,
can we listen to last week's horrific attack on my accent?
This clip.
Hey, it's good. I'm your guest, Eric McElroy.
You are, yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. have to do that sort of really annoying, high-pitched, whiny American thing.
He will listen to this back, though.
Yes, so I think he's listening at the moment. Yeah, with he's his, giving with it his some. Kids.
Oh my God! Is it,
what's wrong with your beef with that? What?
So, sorry, I'm just getting my solicitor on the phone.
Oh, okay, beautiful work. So to bring some levity and lightness, same word really, to this on the way. It's a serious issue. There's a bunch of really rich posh people. Actually posh people because of Eddie Redmayne, who've done really well in terms of they did a bit of acting and they're going to be rewarded for it. And we'll talk about it next.
Some news. Bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Hello, I'm Stephen Allen. That's Eric McElroy. That is Luke Toulson. So it's a packed show today. You can get in on this action if you'd like to give us a call. 0330-223-0200. Come on and have a chat about any of the stories we mentioned. And if you've got a new story you want us to deal with, we'll have a crack at that. We'll go in. We'll go in dry. That's an appropriate phrase for talking about something unprepped, isn't it? It's not just the rude version.
Yeah, but okay, all my answers are going to just go rude.
You can tweet @FUBARradio, or you can email steve@fubarradio.com. So, on to the next one. Oscars, exciting times, as Oscars have been dished out to some people who are all very rich and posh. I don't know, this is back to the working class thing. The Oscars, I'm sure they're great, but it is just rewarding people who are already millionaires, isn't it? Are they a good thing?
No, when I was growing up, I genuinely thought the Oscars was important, you know, like sort of the Nobel Peace Prize or something. It's like, you know, I thought that it was a meaningful thing. And then suddenly you realize, oh, this is just a massive industry marketing campaign, isn't it? This is how you get huge amounts of press, PR, and everyone talking about all these films. It's so cunning that we think it matters. Anyway, but you know, like the Oscars for plumbing or the Oscars for bus drivers.
The thing I was going to say. We've all turned up to those hideous events with people in crappy suits patting themselves on the back for their services to refrigeration. And then, you know, you think, oh, what a terrible event. That is exactly the same as the Oscars, but the Oscars have millions of pounds thrown at it.
And they have prettier people and...
What are you saying?
People that work in refrigeration aren't pretty people. I mean, arguably is more important to our lifestyle.
That's true, if you had to choose.
I mean, you know, much of the third world does not have proper refrigeration. I'm glad that you brought this up as an issue.
But they have... They don't have refrigeration, but they have great films.
They do have good films. Yeah, I mean, Bollywood films and stuff like that. But, yeah.
Just because we've talked about racism, everything now seems racist.
But they don't have. I mean, I mentioned Bollywood because I specifically saw an article recently about refrigeration in India.
No,
so
you didn't.
There is a real link.
No, you didn't.
I'll Google it. That's not just me being racist. I mean, I am.
I'm sure you can.
I love that. By the way, that sentence. That's not just me being racist. Implies there is other information alongside that. Okay. Back to the Oscars. Well, I never thought getting you on this show would somehow end your career. Don't worry, it's fine. We'll edit that out.
What career?
His career. He's got to start one.
Because you could have been up for an Oscar, baby.
Mate, I'm here as well. Trust me.
I don't know if... I'm the same deal. I mean, the BAFTAs, I always kind of prefer them because of the British side of it. You're like, oh, yeah, we're a struggling little film industry. But this year we've done better in terms of, you know, there's been a whole lot of Brits over there. Eddie Redmayne won Best Actor. Bosch, we've won that. That's great, isn't it? Benedict Cumberbatch, he didn't win, but the film Imitation Game won some of those screenplay.
What won a Second World War? So in many ways,
that was a bit better.
In many ways, that's more important.
Although there was a clip I heard Benedict Cumberbatch being interviewed, and he was saying how great Alan Turing was for being a role model to many, and he never mentioned the fact that in many ways this guy. Really, like, did such a more than his fair share of winning that war. But according to Benedict, he's actually a great role model. That's why we should bear in mind because he was, you know, a great style icon. Not really. It's more about the fact that he had a genius brain. That's the interest. I was thinking about this actually. Those two films, the acceptance speech that Eddie Redmayne did mentioned ALS, and Benedict Cumberbatch talks a lot about the hideous law of making homosexuality illegal, and then the chemical castration, all that. Obviously, they're important sides, but no one's giving props to the fact that these people are geniuses, And we never credit people for being clever. We don't really like clever people. If you're a clever person and you're on Big Brother, you is getting voted out in the first week. We, TOWIE, if you put a clever person in there, they would just hunt and kill that person. Clever people are not at all respected in this world.
I think that this is a more recent phenomenon, though, isn't it? The sort of dumbing down of culture. I think maybe just before I'm 38, grew up in the 80s, that around that time you sort of felt that actually the people who were cool were starting to, it was better to be not middle class, it was better not to be clever. I think, but back in the day, surely we did aspire to be. Everyone wanted to social climb, everyone wanted to... the people that were cool were the intelligent people.
Right. So back then, so with people like Jamie, I know that was 90s, but Jamie Oliver doing his Mockney accent. John Peel, everyone loves him, but that was a public school boy who made himself sound very much like he wasn't. So that was the time, do you reckon, when all of a sudden...
I think you know, a lot of, you know, music and a lot of American culture, perhaps, has brought it down. But surely, like back around the time of the Second World War, when, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch was breaking the code thing.
He was doing crosswords as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it actually him doing it?
Well, there's a documentary. Have you been paying attention to the Oscars at all?
No.
Yeah, he was in it.
I mean, I've kind of missed the... I mean, I used to watch the Oscars a lot as well and care about all that, and I've just... Partly, I don't get to go to the cinema anymore because I have young children and it's just soul-destroying.
Which of these films have you seen, Eric? Let's go through these films. The ones that were nominated for Best Picture. Birdman.
Nope.
Boyhood.
Nope.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
I downloaded it but didn't watch it in time.
Did you download it legally?
Yes, I did. I always download legally.
The Imitation Game.
If you don't download it legally, then surely there's not a time limit... Two. That would be remarkably weird if you robbed it off the internet that you can only have it for. Surely? No?
That's a very good point. Maybe it's just like a self... You know, I set to-do lists and deadlines. If my Google Calendar tells me I've missed watching that film, tough poots. Selma.
Nope.
Of course you didn't.
I lived it, mate. I fucking lived it.
The Theory of Everything?
Nope.
Whiplash?
Nope.
Not my tempo.
So I have a lot of thoughts on this year's Oscars.
Now, surely you've seen this film, American Sniper. A good old-fashioned American boy who...
Again.
I like to shoot foreign people who try and do American people some bad.
Didn't need to see it because I lived it.
Brilliant. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people moan about stuff that's going on in the world. But I'm actually a big fan of entertainment news. And whenever I try and do radio shows anywhere, I'll often be joined by an expert who can tell me about these things. If there's one thing I love in the world, it is entertainment news. It is the richest of all the newses that are out there. And so to find out more about this and the Oscars, we can speak to my expert friend from across the pond. It's Larry. Hello.
Hey, Stevie.
Hello, Larry. So give us the latest on the Oscars.
It's hard for you Brits to watch it without falling asleep.
Yeah, it is on kind of late.
No, not that. Neil Patrick Harris is hosting. It was so dull. At one point, he made you look like a good presenter.
Thank you, I guess.
Birdman won Best Film, but star Michael Keaton did not win Best Actor, which is right. In it, he plays a washed-up actor who used to be in superhero films. That's not acting. It's like you starring in a film about a bald comedian who's never going to be on TV. It's like, hello, not a stretch. Best supporting actor went to J.K. Simmons for the film Whiplash. There was a sense that the film would do well yesterday. On Twitter, Whiplash was trending. But so was hashtag the title of my sex tape. I just thought those two were related.
Whoa, too much information.
There was controversy as none of the main nominations went to non-white actors, but Best Director was won by Alejandro G. Iñárritu, which is like, you know, hard to say.
Yeah, you see, I don't think that's how it works.
And finally, for you Brits, it did not look like it was going to be a good night for unnominated David Oyelowo. And then Best Actor Eddie Redmayne said this during his acceptance speech.
I just want to thank my family and you, Hannah, my wife. I love you so much. We have a new fella coming to share our apartment.
So it looks like David got in on a threesome.
Thanks very much for an update. We'll speak to you soon.
Okay, toodles.
We are up to date in what's been happening in the world of the Oscars. Beautiful. So now to find out even more about this, we'll go on the other way. We'll get someone on the phone who knows what's been happening. We'll do that next.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Yes, hello. Some news on FUBAR Radio, ripping apart stuff that's in the news. I mean, it is a big story, but it is the story that I guess we don't, it's hard to care about this Oscar situation as much as maybe, I don't know, as we used to. Is it all light and fluff? I mean, Eric, you're not a massive fan of the films.
No, I love film. I just haven't gone as much as I used to, just because with the kiddie poos and time.
But why didn't you go to, because I take my kids to the cinema all the time, so why? But you don't do that.
I bet they cry themselves watching American Sniper, don't they? Oh, the poor little things.
Well, my kids are older than Eric, so they're slightly just by definition better.
And he wins that one.
You know, you can see better films. You know, there is a moment when you can suddenly.
Smurf film and the Chipmunk film were two of the
they were classics. Although this year had the Lego movie and it didn't win any Oscars, but it was one of the best films of the year.
The Lego movie was good. We've seen the Lego movie.
There you go.
So
last night's. It was very much, I mean, there are many award ceremonies, but last night was the biggest night in the show business, a celebration of the films, and we're now joined by Orlando Parfitt, the movies editor at Yahoo, or Yahoo. How should I be saying this, Orlando?
Yahoo or Yahoo, whatever you like.
Beautiful. How do I say Orlando? Did I get it right?
Just the usual way.
Beautiful stuff. I reckon I'm comfortable with Parfitt. So, you're on with me. Hello, I'm Steve. That's Eric. That's Luke. We're struggling to care about the Oscars, but if you're the movies editor, is it something that we should put some sort of value and worth in?
I mean, it is difficult, isn't it, for sometimes to get excited about the Oscars. I mean, the thing is, for me, as kind of a journalist watching it, is that I'm just hoping that... I think the Oscars are good for two things. They're good, firstly, to maybe highlight movies that you haven't seen. I think this year was a good example of where almost all of the Best Picture nominees, hardly anyone's actually seen any of them. You know, you think the two kind of leading movies were Boyhood and Birdman, which I think made less than $100 million worldwide, which makes them quite small movies.
Isn't this some freaky stats about American Sniper? Didn't American Sniper earn as much money at the box office as the other nominees for Best Picture put together?
Yeah, that sounds about right, to be honest. That sounds about right. And, whereas an American Sniper as well was never really going to... It almost got the nomination, the Best Picture nomination, purely just because it did so well at the box office, that it was kind of a reward for that. So in one way, the Oscars are good because it's a chance, because it brings into the mainstream movies like Birdman and Boyhood that most people haven't seen. And now, you know, a few people go and see these great movies, and I think that's great. The other good thing about the Oscars is that just sometimes really weird stuff happens at them. And as a journalist, that's the kind of thing that I'm looking out for. I'm just watching it and just thinking, God, I just hope something really interesting happens that I can write a good story about.
Is that the worrying thing about your job? And I respect your job and I respect you, but... if a big film wins something, fair enough, you write a line about it. If a nipple gets slipped, you are writing an entire article about it.
I mean, I think that's the world of journalism that we live in now. It's a bigger discussion, but you're not totally wrong about that.
So we haven't seen the ceremony yet. So was there any nipplage last night, or was there anything exciting?
I don't know about nipplage. I mean, the big talking point. From my point of view, was I don't even remember that last year John Travolta he mispronounced Idina Menzel's name.
Oh,
and he mispronounced it quite hilariously. And so this year they brought them, you know, and it became a big kind of thing on the internet. And so this year they brought them together, and sort of she mispronounced his name, and it was all this kind of funny moment. But then he's kind of quite strangely caressed her face. And it was really creepy, and so my Twitter feed just filled, as soon as it happened, my Twitter feed just filled up with just loads of screen grabs of this really creepy moment of John Travolta caressing Idina Menzel's face. But the other weird thing is that also earlier on before the show got started, on the red carpet, he kind of did the same thing to Scarlett Johansson, and again, there was another photo of him kind of standing behind her with his kind of hand around her face and her looking quite nonplussed by it. And
Vulcan mind meld this dude, isn't he?
Yeah, it's really weird. So it's John Travolta for the second year in a row just being really weird at the Oscars. Makes me think, you know, maybe he's doing it deliberately. Maybe he just wants to keep getting invited back.
Well, he's not done much else career-wise, has he? For the last 12 months, all he's done is touch two faces.
Hang on, you know Face Off? Did you see Face Off, the film with him and Nicolas Cage? There was that moment, quite a symbolic moment in it, where one of the characters used to stroke his kid's face.
Yeah.
And so maybe he got it from that, and he's just not stopped stroking people's faces.
He's having a flashback.
Maybe just in the rest of his life, he just does that.
That is,
constantly.
Yeah.
I bet he also, obviously being in Saturday Night Fever, I bet he also every so often just wears a white suit and does that, pew, and no one can see the dance move I've just done, but you know what it is. It's the pointing to the corner.
It's the sound effect that was very Travolta-esque.
So, Best Picture, Birdman. Here's a good question I should say beforehand. Yeah. Have you seen all of these films?
What, all of the Best Picture nominees?
Yeah.
I'd have to get a list of them in front of me.
I've got a list. Okay. I'm being handed a small piece of paper. Okay. American Sniper.
Yes.
Birdman.
Yes.
Of course you've seen Birdman. Boyhood.
Yes.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes.
That's a great movie. Yeah, great. Yeah, I was going to say that's good. Jinx. The Imitation Game.
Yes.
Selma.
Yes.
The Theory of Everything.
Yes.
Here's the... Oh, you're going for a full house if you've seen this one. Whiplash.
Yes, I have.
Oh, well,
I'm very proud of myself.
You've done your research.
That is a shit game we just played. Yeah.
has the movies editor.
Yes, over and over again.
As the movie editor of Yahoo, I think we could have gotten you in trouble.
Yeah.
Did the right movie win in your eyes, Orlando?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I really like Birdman, and I think if it had won any other year, then it's great. It's kind of an art house experimental movie, really. You know, it's about... kind of a, you know, and Michael Caine playing a kind of a meta version of himself, trying to rebuild his career, which is obviously he was actually doing with this movie as well as his character within the movie.
And the long takes as well, yeah.
Yeah, really long takes. It's got a great Ed Norton performance in it as well. I thought, you're watching and thinking, why isn't it in Ed Norton more films? And the answer is because he's incredibly difficult to work with, but which the film kind of satirizes as well. It's a great movie, but Boyhood, I thought, was absolutely brilliant. It's one of the, I think it'll be seen as kind of one of the classic movies of the last 10 years.
But that's an experiment in filmmaking as well, isn't it?
It is, totally. And that's why it's quite surprising, because the Academy loves gimmicks. Like, you think when The Artist won a couple of years ago, it's a nice film, but it's the big gimmick is that obviously it's a silent movie.
Yeah.
And so it's almost surprising that obviously Boyhood, with the big kind of gimmick of it, the fact that it's shot over 15 years, you would have thought they would have liked to award the director for doing that, for the amazing kind of lengths he went to make it. It wasn't to be.
So they might like a gimmick, and The Artist was a gimmick, but The Artist was a film about films and acting, and Birdman is a film about acting. So this is people who love acting celebrating their own worth, isn't it?
Hollywood navel-gazing, say. I think there's a lot of that. It definitely taps into, a lot, it's about the kind of the creative process and, your kind of sense of self-worth if you work in Hollywood. And obviously, the people who vote for the Oscars, they're all people, they're either actors or set designers or production designers or whatever. It's basically, about 3,000, mostly over 70, people 70 or over living in kind of Hollywood retirement homes, and they're the people who vote for the Oscars. So it's sometimes the kind of films that appeal to that crowd.
Although there's also a great bit in that film where they totally diss the role of the critic. So I'd have voted for that just for the same thing. If you can't do it, don't judge it. Yeah, there's someone who's had a bad review for his stand-up. As you go through the rest of the... So was it in general a good ceremony? Did you see much of what Doogie Howser did?
I did. I mean, I watched. I watched most of it, to be honest. And I find the Oscars again. I love kind of. I'm a big Oscar history geek, and I think it always throws up amazing moments. But I think as a TV event, as a TV show, it's generally really boring because right. There's so many. They have to. There's so many adverts, and it's on American TV where they're kind of advertising all the different to us. So you can have far more adverts, and it's kind of artificially inflated, kind of beyond 3 hours. I think Neil Patrick Harris, he did an all right job. I don't think he was amazing. He started with a really good joke about one of the things about the narratives around this year's Oscars was how the lack of racial diversity amongst the acting nominees, and he made a joke about it was something like, forgive me if I get this wrong, but it's something like welcome to the Oscars where we celebrate the biggest and whitest, sorry, I mean brightest in Hollywood. And that got a kind of a big laugh, and it kind of punctured immediately that kind of story around it. But I mean, after more than a kind of a third of the way through, I think it felt like he was running out of material, which often happens. I mean, it happened with Ellen last year. It's a really difficult gig to host the Oscars because you've got to be kind of funny, but you can't really annoy anyone at the same time. You're kind of walking a very fine line.
So if you're an Oscars history geek, who would you say is the best host?
Billy Crystal, without doubt. There was the classic, trying to remember, it was the year that Silence of the Lambs, I was randomly, a bit of an insight into my life, I was randomly watching some clips from the 1992 Oscars the other day, when Silence of the Lambs won. And it's known as it's one of the best ever Oscars. And that was Billy Crystal's third time hosting. And it's the Oscars when it's the Oscars where Jack Palance does a one-armed
I remember that.
Press up, which is and then Billy Crystal kept on making loads of Jack Palance jokes during the rest of the show. It's very, very funny. So yeah, I mean, I think he's the person who kind of got it right in terms of being kind of funny, but also, you know, inclusively funny. I think that, like, David Letterman infamously bombed because he just really took the piss out of all of the people involved, yeah, in a way that was actually quite acerbic rather than kind of inclusively funny.
Well, it's not your fault that you sit there. I mean, this is the thing, right? If you're gonna waste time watching clips when we've all done it, at least it was good research for you. And the problem is, it's just YouTube is very addictive, and that's the thing, because Google is so successful. Yahoo's video service is great, is it? Do you have one?
Yeah, other services are available.
Yes, yeah. Whoops. Now, what were you just saying about people being acerbic and taking the piss? You're right, it does not work, does it? It's not a nice thing to do in the world of video. There's not a lot of throw forward on this, is there? It's just next year. Isn't there already talk of Leonardo DiCaprio being tipped for next year's Best Picture, and the flipping thing's not even been made yet?
Yeah, what is Leonardo DiCaprio got? I think a good shot actually might be Johnny Depp. He's playing, because obviously Johnny Depp has had an awful couple of years. He was in a movie called Mordecai this year, which was it's one of the biggest, and he's had a run of about four flops in a row. But he's going to be playing Whitey Bulger, the famous gangster from the US. And I think if you looked at the Oscar betting, he might currently be ahead in terms of who.
That's
win,
just because of his character's name, though, isn't it?
Well, in terms of it's in the middle of a Venn diagram of what makes people likely Oscar winners. So right. Career resurrection.
So you did say his name was
character.
Whitey, didn't you?
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Sorry, am I having to explain my jokes now?
The best gags are the ones that have to be explained. Yeah.
Brilliant. That is
now you know how I feel most of the time, Luke.
Listen, Orlando Parfit from the movies editor at Yahoo, thank you very much for joining us and giving us that info.
Nice one. Cheers, thanks.
Cheers, mate. Have a good day. So, yeah, it looks like, well, I can't believe this. People already know the kind of stuff that's going to win next year's Oscars. There is no let-up from this lark. So we are heading into the second hour of the show. Some news on FUBAR Radio. You can get in touch. Give us your feedback at, not feedback, on the stories, not on us, at FUBAR Radio. Email steve@fubarradio.com. And you can give us a call, 0330-223-0200, in the next hour. Delving into more stories, maybe the slightly less serious ones. We'll find out.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Well, hello, cheeky second hour. This is FUBAR, this is Some News, this is Stephen Allen, that is Eric McIlroy, that is Luke Toulson. We're in the second hour when things, yeah, we can delve into the news a little deeper, and I was going to say, we can find something light and something happy that makes us feel, you know, a little bit cheerier. Let's see what's been in the news. Passenger planes at risk from Russian bombers, says former head of armed forces. Oh, we're all going to die again. Why does the news keep telling us we're all going to die? So, looks like Russia are at it, as they've been flying planes near here. Passenger planes are in danger of being hit by Russian jets unless Britain increases spending and stands up to an aggressive country that's testing our defences, the former head of the armed forces has said. Are we worried about being hit by a Russian plane? By the way, I'm flying tomorrow morning, so they better get this stuff sorted, because I don't want to be downed by a Russian plane.
Well,
or
I'd fly
anything.
Aeroflot then, or something. Fly a Russian airline.
Yeah, that's
is probably
safe.
The safer. True. Who is the dude who said this thing?
Air Chief Marshal Lloyd Stirrup.
Lord wow. Stirrup. Like
that. That's his name, isn't it?
How is
it
posh is this guy that he's called Lord Stirrup? That is too posh. You've gone too posh, fella.
Because he's got all the titles. He's got the Air Chief Marshal, and he's a Lord, and his surname's the Stirrups.
Some people are just too posh. Oh, my kids, associate poshness with cleanliness. Whenever they see something that's like clean, like they go, "Oh, it's posh in here." You're like, "Oh, that's just because Mum and Tony don't fucking tidy up.
That's exactly right? The issue, isn't it? Yeah. It's just someone's bothered to have basic hygiene.
That's not what poshness is. Well, I suppose maybe posh people can afford a cleaner or something, I guess. Maybe. Yeah. I'm off topic again.
Are you saying that the working class don't wash?
I don't even know where to take that. That's,
yeah.
I was confused by the story because when I saw the original headlines, it was about Russian escorts, and I thought it was going to go in a whole different direction.
Something's going to go down at some point. It might not be a plane.
Yeah, because they're escorting the Russian plane, so I thought I'm over-explaining.
And so you Googled for Russian escorts, and that was gone.
I didn't have any time to take my children to the film then.
I'm glad Russia back in our bad books.
Right.
You know, because you know where you are with Russia. Now, we all grew up with that. We know they're the bad guys. You know, we're the good guys. They're the bad guys. It's very simple. It's not a religious thing. Yeah. You can do impressions of them. No one gets arsy when you're like, yeah, this is my Russian voice. Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Do you know what I think has happened over the last few years? You can't do an Irish accent anymore without people in the audience getting a little bit kind of, ooh. But it's the same race. I thought the rules were, if you look the same, you can do the voice.
We do Irish people. I haven't noticed that.
A gig. Someone was in from Ireland. I might have had a crack at the accent. And that wasn't even a pun then, but it should have been. Oh, yeah. I should have done a pun. Would you write down these puns? I'm going to do them again tomorrow. And he said, oh, that's so racist. I was like, what am I? I could have, what? So I disagreed, but not using sentences. Just using those words. So Russia, you can pick on. It's not on a religious based thing. The only problem is there was this odd phase where England, the English accent, was the accent of all bad guys who weren't English. That weird thing that happened in films, that if you were a Nazi or any kind of evil villain, you were just... Even they'd set films in space in the
space
future.
Space was populated with evil guys. Like, England as a country or Britain can't get, like, a spaceship anywhere. But apparently we can get...
Yeah, in the future. And just the English as well. The Scottish and the Welsh are like, oh, we're not that evil. You fly off, colonise somewhere and try and kill everyone.
Our space race is going to really kick in the next 10 to 20
years. Can
you
sound evil and Welsh at the same time? It's too lyrical.
Have a crack at it, Eric.
Well, no, I'm not going to. You know, I don't do any accents.
I know one shouldn't just do like in jokes between us, but the great thing is, every time Eric does an accent, it always ends up Mexican, which is an amazing thing.
I am from Cardiff. Yeah. That was exaggerated for comic effect. If I cared to know anything about them.
Yeah, that makes it better.
Going back to the story, I think it's interesting that a lot of the Lord Stirrup, if that really is his name, just made the point that these weren't just joyrides that these Russians were on. I haven't met any Russian person that ever looked like they were having any joy.
Oh, that's the angle you took that one. Beautiful things. So, if you have any comments on these stories, you can get in touch. Tweet at FUBAR Radio. Let's move on to the next one.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Pain is an issue. Today, a study has revealed that an estimated 190,000 people in the UK are addicted to common painkillers. The actual figure is possibly higher because some people, I guess, too high on painkillers to fill in surveys. We can find out more about this. Joining us on the line... I thought they could press the button there. Is he not on the line? He's probably doing some flipping painkilling.
You know, the first time can I talk about
this? Yeah, no, I thought we had the guy ready to go and tell us about painkillers.
Until he calls up, then I'll give my uneducated opinion.
But please do.
The first time I ever heard about being addicted to painkillers was when Matthew Perry from Friends.
Yes.
He was like the first famous example as well. I just remember thinking, loser. Man, you're a multimillionaire in Hollywood, and you're addicted. You could be addicted to anything. You could be addicted to sex, heroin. You could just anything. But
and he's on paracetamol.
And you're just like, that is so sad. That is, and then you realise, it clearly is an issue.
There was the one before that who had a problem with painkillers was James Brown, and that's one of the reasons.
I genuinely thought that was a setup.
No, it's a true story.
I thought that sounded so much like...
It's going to be. It's the other way around. It's a real story, but it heads towards a cheesy joke.
Okay.
James Brown had a problem. He was addicted to painkillers, which explains why he kept going, I feel good. You would do. You're on codeine.
I knew I don't think anyone ever brings James Brown into a story without knowing at some stage he's going to go, get down. You know, that's going
to
happen.
I thought if anyone was going to take the show to its low point, it would be me.
Oh, no, there's always got to be some... That's great. I always like bringing back material from, I must have written that as a kid. True story, is what I'm saying.
I think the thing with this story is shocking is that, why in this country, you would need painkillers when you just drink? I mean, I know you guys aren't big drinkers, but I mean, that is the true, that's the British way to kill your pain and sorrow. That's what it's about.
But you say that. What's the most common pain that you have because of your...
Oh, the hangover.
No, I was going to go with gout for you.
Oh, yeah, I have gout. But I'm just thinking maybe that's why.
Tudor times? What?
Well, it is an ancient disease, and
he has beheaded some wives.
I mean,
as well,
to be fair, yeah. I mean, Henry VIII had gout, and yeah. I'm on to my second wife as well. So the parallels are striking.
What happened to the first one?
Beheaded.
Divorce, died, beheaded, divorce, survived. So yeah, that's
a great day for someone as well, isn't it?
I know. I haven't told Erin yet that she's. But one of them got a palace in Richmond, right? Was it Princess Anne got the palace in Richmond for Henry VIII's wives?
Was Princess Anne married to Henry VIII? I mean, I don't know.
I didn't think she was that old.
I don't know a lot about our royalty.
Never mind.
Okay, I was going to say though, right? If you think drinking kills pain, drinking should be our go-to painkiller. Your most common pain, I imagine, saving other than the hangovers, would be gout, which is made worse by drinking, isn't it?
Yes, but that's why you just have to drink more. And that's where
you drink through it.
You drink through it. Yeah. You drink through everything.
I remember that from my drinking days when you'd attempt to stay up all night and drink yourself sober because someone once said that was a thing you could do, and you're like, yeah. I mean, I know I've grown up since then and now understand enough science that's not possible. But I'll have a crack at it.
It's like breaking through the other side of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you do get that. The thing is, you do get that moment the next morning when you think, actually, I think I'm perfectly fine to go to work.
But, and that's when you need a painkiller, and that's maybe when this happens.
I guess we can look more into this. He's not a chance of getting this guy on the phone. He's probably busy. Dishing out.
Realised that we're not going to take this very serious topic as seriously as it should be taken.
He heard the interview with the guy about films.
I think it's when you mentioned Google to the Yahoo guy that made this guy think, he's going to talk about other drugs as being better.
We were going to be joined by someone from the Brain Behaviour and Mental Health University of Manchester, and I was going to point out, if ever you want to be an expert on drugs, that is the university to do it at. But we had a fair share at Birmingham, but we couldn't keep up with the Manchester ones. Right, so on the way, we've dealt with drugs, we've dealt with Russia. There's got to be some lighter news. For the love of something, we'll have a crack at that on the way next.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Hello, good morning, 16 minutes past 11. This is Some News on FUBAR Radio. Hello, I'm Stephen Allen with Eric McElroy and Luke Toulson having a look at the news. And Eric, that was a pretty fine dance move. I saw it.
I was feeling it second hour. It's kicking in. It's happening. We're rock and rolling.
I genuinely can feel the difference. When we started the show, I'd only just started drinking the energy drinks. I'm on the second one now. Yep. I feel like I'm enjoying this way more than both you and indeed anyone listening.
Yeah, I don't enjoy this at all.
I'm on a ragged tip. That's just made me feel old. That's a phrase. We should bring that back.
That sounds racist.
You should have. Yeah, it says you. So, the thing is, in many ways, we've not used your special skill, your power, your ability to view things, because you straddle both sides of the pond.
Yep, I straddle it.
You are, which explains why the pond is so wet. Because you keep weeing in. I don't know where I was going with that. But you are a little bit of both. A little bit. You're British. You're American. There's an American story. In fact, you can talk us through this one. I'll give you the bed. Have you got the headphones on as well?
I'm ready.
You can ride this. Hang on. Stop the bed. Ah. Before we started talking, I said, oh, nuts. I'm going to say Hillary wrong, right? Eric gives it... Oh my God! What? Right, as he does, and then said, "How on earth could you get Hillary wrong?" Okay, I'm an idiot.
It's the Rodham afterwards, the Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Is that how she pronounces Rodham, or is it Rodham?
I think Rodham.
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 Like Birmingham.
Never even met him. Here we go.
Hillary.
Hey! Wait a minute. Take three.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Almost. Subject
intense news media attention and public scrutiny for the last 3 decades, is preparing for another thorough vetting, as she likes to call it, as she plans for a likely presidential campaign. So basically, what the story is she knows that if she's going to make another run at being president, that they're going to be pulling out the opposition research. So she's done what is called self-vetting.
I know about vetting because I've recently been rewatching seasons 1 and 2 of House of Cards.
Oh, I thought you were going to say vets in practice.
Do I look like the kind of guy who watches?
No, I've
been rewatching season 2 of Vets in Practice. I've been watching Animal Hospital because that stuff is hard to track down these days. I've been watching, as they say in Gaffney, why I do declare. That was meant to be me tapping my ring
it's
on the
exciting,
table.
It's exciting though, isn't it? Because it's coming up, House of Cards.
It's Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the 27th, whatever day that is.
Anyway, sorry, you're right. House of Cards, not real.
As far as the real news. Hillary Clinton might be the first female elected president of the United States.
But and Frank Underwood, if you've not seen the end of season 2 yet, spoiler alert, but totally becomes president.
Yeah. Have you watched the original House of Cards?
No.
I've watched the first season. It was quite good.
There's only is the first season in the original
British
version.
There's two seasons.
Get
out of town. Hello, Netflix. Yeah. So basically what she's done is she's done self-research to see what might be there in her past that she's forgotten about.
Yeah.
Because she's one of those misrememberers as well, because she remembered getting shot at in Bosnia when it didn't happen.
Well, where did she
so
get shot at?
She has
not
never
seen
been
him
shot
again,
at. Yeah, exactly. She's never been.
Surely
and
there's
we'll never
nothing
go.
That no one doesn't know about Hillary Clinton. Surely it's come up. By now, it's not like if like a presidential, like when Sarah Palin sort of came out, and you know, no one had checked that out because they, you know, why would you? And
she then was in Alaska.
You can understand, but surely Hillary, she's been in the news before, hasn't she? Hillary Clinton.
I think I've heard
she's
of her.
Someone. She's married to.
She's married to somebody and did some things.
You would have thought,
but you can't be too careful.
But the thing is because it's what she's been doing like in the last 8 years since she was last vetted. Is that she's been doing speeches and talks?
At a through
has she been paid for things?
At
or?
A shoe thrown at her.
I think this is a cover story. That was George Bush. I think this is
no. Bush had, but there was another.
She was behind George Bush, and he ducked.
He ducked. No, there was some speech she was doing in America, and someone turned up. Yes, it was in one of the some news podcasts a while ago.
Threw a shoe at Hillary.
Yeah,
Hillary.
She nearly caught it.
Hillary.
She was amazing. Actually, you should watch the clip. It's on the internet. Her comeback is pretty swish. She was pretty good at it.
Oh yeah, I did see that, but I can't remember what it was. But no, I think she's probably just looking to see what her husband's been up to. This is what this is. She's just double-checked. She's like, Bill, come on. Because, I mean, that is the risk of Hillary Clinton, is that she probably would be fine as president, but her husband is going to be a problem. Because that boy likes to play.
But, you know, he must be 70 by now, isn't he? Does he still like to play at 70?
Well,
I wish I could still do that.
That is the curse of Viagra. I'm sure Hillary Clinton is not happy about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, he's spending all of his time. I'm amazed they see each other. He spends all of his time on the Clinton Foundation. He's... getting in fact, you know what? This is so much like House of Cards. Have you watched Luke? Have you watched House of Cards?
Yes, I have.
Right. Yeah. Have you watched House of Cards?
I've only watched the British version because I'm keeping it real to because my new roots here in the UK.
Claire spends all of her time on working for that foundation thing that's putting clean water in places. They are basically the gender reversed Clintons, then, aren't they?
Yeah.
Does that mean that Hillary Clinton is that scheming? Because
yes, she is.
Frank Underwood has killed 2 people. Yeah. So I'm not sure I can say this out loud, but I'm going to do Hillary Clinton probably killed 2 people.
No, there are people that actually believe that there's, what's his name? Oh, it was not Brady, something else. That there's rumors that back in the day in Arkansas that the Clintons did eliminate a few people in order to become governor and then president. So this is not, these are not accusations that have not been made before. So you're in line with a good chunk of the right wing of the United States.
Claire has slept with a photographer. Bill might have slept with someone. I don't know. It's just a guess.
I was just wondering if there... I think it's interesting because would there be anything in your past?
Ooh, so if we got vetted.
If we got vetted, what would come out that you want to share with us now today if you announce that you're running for... Because comedians do run for office sometime.
Al
Murray is taking on Nigel Farage. Mr. Bean is taking on Ed Miliband.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of the same.
Izzard will be running for mayor.
Mayor, yeah. So I wonder if he'll vet himself for that. Although if he's elected Boris Johnson, I mean,
We already vote for comedians. Yeah. That's what you're saying. So, but, so, I mean, basically, people are listening to this thinking, oh, and there's just three people dicking around in a studio. This could be the powerhouse. We could all go off and hold some form of official office.
From this platform.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, like it's sort of in the movie, if this was in the movie where they of sort of Hillary Clinton's life, where they sort of the Republicans are trying to come up with stuff, there'd be like a sort of 3-minute montage. We need to get some dirt. And then you'd see all these people researching and then eventually some tired researcher. I think I got something.
You know, what music would you have in this montage?
I haven't thought it through that much.
Rising up, out on the street.
Oh, that's the only montage music available. but in the same version for me, they'd be like, okay, we need to get something for Luke. And then like 3 seconds into that montage, I think I've got something, guys.
Yeah, the music would just get to rising. Oh, no, he's got it.
Yeah. For a 20-year period, this guy was a shambles. Yeah. There's no way I could. I've been too bad, treated too many people poorly.
But then Paul Russo in House of Cards, I know it's not real, but Paul Russo, they vet him, and he was doing the drugs and the prostitutes, and he had a weekend away in Thailand where he couldn't even remember how much he got up to. You're not that bad, are you?
I have done many things that would rule me out of public office. Oh. Yeah. Okay. It's not, and the thing is, you know how, like, okay, when, you know, David Cameron and George Osborne, you know, obviously took cocaine, and they, you know, and they sort of managed to dodge that bullet, you know, and you sort of get around, and you can sort of, and then obviously with your example of George Russo, they sort of turn it as, you know, this is a person who's turned himself around. I don't think there's a defense there. Any of the things
Luke's really turned himself around. He's not started shaving again yet.
I'm you know, now, like, if they're only going to vet the last 5 years of my life, then this guy is incredibly dull. Let's elect him.
Yeah, I've only known you when you were really dull.
Yeah,
so but it's if hard you to go imagine back, anything else.
You only have to go back 6 years, and all of a sudden, it's like, Christ, this guy's a horrible, horrible person.
So I met you and you became dull? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a definite correlation between the two.
Okay.
Is that when you stopped drinking? When you went from too wild, too cool for school and also official office to too dull?
Don't you find...
Yeah, no, I was going to exactly agree that when I was still drinking, I was doing stuff that I, you know, would probably be a newspaper article. Whereas now, not even a pamphlet in my life. Nothing going on. So, Eric, you've not answered this one yet.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I have anything.
Do you want me to Google you to see if there's anything? Some shiz turns up.
No, just complaints about my
whiny voice. I didn't know you have, genuinely, you've been married.
I have an ex-wife.
So,
in the United
like,
States.
Obviously, the first person that they would ring is your ex-wife.
Yeah.
Would she speak relatively favorably of you, or would.
I think so. I mean, I did, when it came to support. I did kind of stiffer a little bit because I left the country, and she asked for support for the cat, and I said no.
Oh, thank God! Right, so you didn't have kids with this woman.
Oh, we had kids as well.
But she asked.
She asked for support, like financial support, and you just like
for the cat.
Because
towards the end of when the relationship was kind of, we were maybe going to try one more time and everything else, and we had one cat already, Sam the cat, and. And she got another cat, and I was like, well, look, this is kind of on you. You already have your own place. I'm not really sure about the commitment of another cat, and this relationship is probably struggling. And so then we did end the relationship not long after she acquired the second cat, and then she asked me for financial help to pay for its vet bills and its kitty litter, and I said
no. So you were separated by the time this second cat was on the scene?
Yes.
So for all you know, she could have also been letting some other dude pet this cat.
I don't even know if I'm the father.
Oh, I like that too much. I love it so much. That's great.
Luke didn't like it at all.
No, it was cute.
Steve, I'm interested in this. So you're saying, so you haven't drunk for...
8 years.
8 years, but before that... Sort of your 20s.
I started a fight with myself in a mirror. I got so aggressive. I'm from Mansfield originally, so I'm naturally, genetically violent. And when I drink, that comes out, which is a horrible
thing. Did you get into some fights?
Yeah.
I mean, like proper fights?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Even up to, from university type. I know, which is a really odd thing. Like, I'm at university, what a ponce, but I was still drinking and being very Mansfieldish. Yeah. But I'm not like that anymore.
I mean, it's really bizarre when you, because I've obviously only ever known you as this sort of very nice, suave, sophisticated person.
I've got the glasses on now as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I've still got the shaven head and the wearing of shirts.
Like if anyone saw you, would assume they could have you.
But really?
Literally 8 years ago, they would have been. Yeah. There wasn't.
There's a quiet, seething rage in him.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, I guess that's an interesting question. I want to ask. To be not semi-serious for a moment, do you think there's anything that politicians should have that can rule them out from office if they've reformed themselves? Like, because you guys said you were happy maybe with some things you didn't use. You stopped drinking a long time ago. I stopped drinking 2 months ago because I was too fat and I had gout, and so I hope to drink again. Please, dear God, let me drink again.
I genuinely think you should be allowed to separate your personal life. Your personal wrongdoings shouldn't affect your career.
So like Clinton's dabblings in the past as the male Clinton side of it. I mean, Hillary, we don't know. I mean, people have alleged all kinds of things about her. They've alleged she's murderer. They've alleged she's a secret lesbian. They've alleged she's, you know, lizard person, all that stuff. But does any of that rule her out from being president of the United States?
Lizard person, yeah.
Does it?
Well, I mean,
if
you're a different species, then maybe. And I don't want to come across a speciesist, but if you're a different species, then yeah. But
so,
in general, like Brooks
Newmark.
So you're
saying you don't mind the species, you just don't mind
the species. I just don't like the way they look. So, yeah, I think you should. Sadly, we don't live in that world where, you know, there is some scandal and some politician has to resign. And you just think, what? Right, Brooks Newmark sent some dodgy pictures. As long as he does whatever job he did well, his sending of naked pictures does not affect his professional ability. Like, it doesn't affect mine. I've sent, like, three of these during this show, and no one's... Has it ruined my ability to present?
I didn't even get a retweet.
I can't say Hillary didn't get retweeted. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, like, Anthony Weiner was a representative in America who had to resign because he was tweeting pictures of his wiener, which was just genius.
Beautiful.
And I've tried to follow that in the UK, and I've been following Ed Balls for years.
Has he not posted a picture of him yet?
Nothing.
Obviously, part of the problem with politicians in this country is that we think, because so many of them come straight out of university and then go and work sort of back office for the, and are just career politicians and are constantly worried about climbing the greasy pole, that there isn't any humanity to them. There isn't anything interesting. There isn't any flaws, you know. And so that's actually, surely I'd like someone. Of course, the example, you know, John Prescott, you know, who when he punched that dude during the, you know, the campaign, whenever it was 97 or 2000.
Yeah, when he got egged first.
Yeah, and then he punched a guy and everyone's like, yeah, actually that's a good thing. We like the fact that you're human. If someone throws something at you, you should punch them. And actually, if our politicians were a little bit more fallible in the sense, rather than, I'm terribly sorry, I must resign.
Yeah. You know, because so George Osborne, being good friends with the dominatrix / person who's been linked to a lot of coke,
yeah,
it's good.
It humanizes him, is what you're saying.
I think what I don't like, you know, there's the whole thing in politics is that the thing is, it's not actually the bad thing you do, it's the cover-up. This guy was an entitled, posh guy who worked in the city or whatever he did back in the 80s, and we were trying to pretend that he didn't take cocaine. Of course he took cocaine. Why wouldn't he take cocaine? He was rich in the 80s, it's what you did, right? And so just own that. Just say, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay, what? So I'm a bad person? Most people out there have taken some sort of drug, whether it's a painkiller or a white line.
And he probably took painkillers as well, because he was good friends with what looks like a dominatrix who can probably wield a bit of weight behind that punch. So, yeah, of course, he's probably, yeah, that's fine. And if anything, we like him more for it. All right, on the way next, we'll delve into some more news.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Hello, good morning. I'm Steve Ann Allen. That is Eric McIlroy, joined today by Luke Toulson and, we should also, comedians. Should we plug? I'm on the internet. Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, we are at Some News Live at the South Bank at Crack Comedy. Beautiful. And it was there tomorrow night. Tomorrow, you're in Switzerland, so we've got Pippa Evans is joining us. And Christian Riley, who's a regular feature there, and a little appearance by a topical James Brand, who's I don't think ever done topical before.
Wow, it's always awkward when you take a week off and so they get better people in.
Yeah, it was really easy to fill in for you, surprisingly.
But I'm busy. I'm in Switzerland doing a gig and trying to get some of that sweet, sweet tax avoiding investment business.
Yeah, opening up your new HSBC bank account.
Yeah, so. And a Toblerone as well. I mean, I would willingly go there. Luke, plug yourself. What's going on in your life?
No, I don't want them to come to my gigs. I want it to just be this. I just want it to be this moment between me and the listeners. But yeah, if they want, I've got, you know, the information's on the website.
You're really selling it, Luke.
Dude, like you think this is how we're going to make our living is by
you
telling
never
these
know.
Listeners
I'm
to come.
I'm tax efficient soon.
Don't diss our listeners.
No, I like just, them, but they're listening to us now. Hey, okay, just type in my name in Google and you'll find...
Or Yahoo. I've learned that lesson. People get pretty prickly.
If you want, yeah.
I would love to be your PR, Luke. What should we say about you? Ugh. God, if they can be fucked, come see me.
Yeah, no, exactly. Those are the people I want, are the people who are going, hey, I like that guy. Not because, oh, I wonder if this guy will tell me exactly what to do with my life.
Okay.
If you'd like to get in touch, you can call 0330-223-0200, tweet at FUBAR Radio, and you can email steve@fubarradio.com. The reason I read out the contact details, so the last little section, things that would rule us out of office, of holding official office. There is no way anyone will respond to this, but I love the idea that they would. If you would like to tell us what in your past would stop you holding official office, tweet at FUBAR Radio. I'm not saying it's going to get on the radio. I'm just saying at some point when this tax-efficient Switzerland thing ends up being a bomb tomorrow and I need to blackmail someone. Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. So send me your dirty details and I'll make some money out of this.
Actually, I thought one thing that would rule me out of probably running for office ever if I went back to the United States is that I've taken a foreign passport. I've now dirtied myself.
Ooh.
I'd be un-American enough now that I wouldn't be eligible to run for office.
And the fact that you've got a passport would kind of upset some
no,
people.
No, it's not that bad.
Really? Right, let's delve into another one. This is a story. We're heading into the territory of news stories where we're kind of trying to find the most pointless one out there. Should this really even be published in the newspapers? This way is amazing. Do you want to walk us through this one, Eric?
I forgot the
gym.
Right.
Gym will do something.
Concrete firm Gym Will Mix It finally changes its name after drivers were abused over links to the pedophile DJ while making deliveries. Although that title makes it sound like they were involved in making deliveries with a pedophile DJ.
Right, why would you need that much concrete? That's not a four-way experiment to be walking down, is it? So there's a company that had the name Gym Will Mix It.
Yep.
And they hung on to that little title. I mean, surely you'd go with the PR. As soon as that ITV show was on, you'd be like, oh, we need to rebrand Gym Will Set It. No, that's not right. But something.
Yes. The fact that it took him this long to change his name is pretty astounding. You'd think that immediately you'd go, I have a problem here.
Yeah.
To be fair to the fellow, though, the quote I read, he said, we changed the name after our drivers were heckled. Thinking, if I changed my name every time I was heckled, I'd be on a pretty obscure name by now.
Orlando, what? You would... and also to be fair to him, so it was owned by someone called Jim, and they did mix things.
Yeah. You know, it's a great name.
Yeah.
No, his last name was Mix It.
That is, yeah. Although there are some...
He was born to it.
Whenever you drive around places to do gigs or whatever, I always like, if you go through the high street checking out, there'll be a cafe, but probably a hairdresser's that has a pun-related name. And you just think, oh, you know, there's always some kind of stuff. So any business names are often weird-ass. In fact, if there's any brands or business names that you think should be changing it, get in touch, tweet at FUBAR Radio. Stuff that should be in the same category of someone with the name of Gym Will Mix It.
Like, did you see the...
Freddy Starburger. No,
Or the kids' book, Can You Spell What It Is Yet? Those aren't available anymore.
I was watching an episode of Dinner Date yesterday. It was a rerun. This is how full my life is. And they, in the background, there was the music, Sunrise Early in the Morning, the Rolf thing. And you think, oh, that is like an episode that maybe they shouldn't be showing. I know it's only very quietly in the background, you've got to spot it as a music bed. But there are so many episodes of Top of the Pops. BBC 4 used to be non-stop reruns of Top of the Pops in the same way that E4 was reruns of Friends. Imagine how desperate E4 would be if all of the cast of Friends ended up being sex criminals. And we're just taking a moment to imagine that, aren't we?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, see the Far Eastern travel books. Do you want to be in Pyongyang? Gary Glitter.
That was brilliant.
Sorry, do you want to be in my gang? He was in Thailand, but okay, Pyongyang is North Korea. Do you want to be in Pyongyang travel book?
Beautiful.
That one has been taken off the market.
Okay, I'm out.
No, I mean, the fact... I mean, props to you, and fair play, you landed a pun there, but that was...
Those are the first two puns I've ever done in my entire life.
This is not for you, baby.
I'm not a fan of the puns.
Stick to the other
Genuinely way. Don't think it's a good thing about life.
Puns. So, any brands that maybe shouldn't exist, should never exist, or should be taken off the shelves at Foo Bar Radio, Hairy Cornflakes would be, not that they make Hairy Cornflakes, and you wouldn't sell them anyway, but that would also be one. It was DLT's nickname, yeah.
I liked when we were talking about this story this morning before we got here about and you sort of racially profiled this Jim O'Mixit guy, and I thought that was quite interesting.
So it was socio-demographically profiling.
Yeah, not racially profiling. Your assumptions about
I assumed he was
you did the voice
because
you?
He
you
did the voice.
I'm trying to nudge
works
you in that direction again.
In a sort of manual. Yeah, you don't get a lot of posh people working in the concrete trade, Eric. I don't think it's quite as
but
much of a bombshell.
But wouldn't it be more
that
fun if you did?
Yes.
Hello.
Good day to you, sir. I have a delivery of the finest concrete.
Finest concrete known to man. Should I live here?
McFitt.
Yes.
You like Lord Stirrup.
Yeah, well, hey, he's living off that money they made when they invented the stirrups.
Yeah, he might be. Who knows what he's doing now? He's retired from the military. But yeah, oh, poor Jim.
But are you sure? Wait,
which one? Sorry, can we just clarify when you say poor Jim? We just need to clarify. We mean Jim, the concrete guy, not the paedophile DJ, which is the worst adjective. I'm not sure if that's... You want to be a
super... The DJ's the noun, but yeah.
You want to be a superstar DJ.
Yeah, here we go. No, yeah, there is no song that goes, paedophile DJ, here we go. They never do that. That's Fatboy Slim is not mixing that right now.
He should be. Because he hasn't had a hit in a while.
Zoe this Ball's bringing the money in. Stop giving Zoe Ball work, and then Fatboy Slim's going to have to make that song. Thank you very much for getting in touch. You can tweet at FooBar Radio. So look, brands that shouldn't exist anymore. Orange Blogger on Twitter has an issue with Sillet Bang. What the hell is that about? Sillet Bang, you could stretch to being a rude word if you really wanted to, but silly, you can't make that rude, can you? Is that a rude thing? Is there a part of a body that I don't know about that is... Oh, dear. I'm not experienced with the ladies' sillets. Oh, no, now I am. Now I get it. Bang, I get that one. The Aardvark on Twitter, this one, why would you not have changed it? Yeah, there's a picture. Hang on. Ah, yes, someone... JimmelFixItDents.com. Isn't actually... No, that's not still a thing, is it? So there's a company, Jim'll Fix It Dents, or Jim'll Fix T.I. Dents. No, it's, either way, they can make some jingles. You probably would change it if you had Jim and fixing things in your business name.
Any association with Jimmy Savile has got to be seen as bad PR these days, I think, as a rule.
You're going to go out on a limb.
Any association is going to be in the negative column. No.
According to Google, we've got Jim'll Fix It Dents. It still exists.
What do they do? What do they dent? What do they dent?
Paintless dent removal. We're not getting paid for this, by the way. He's in Stratford.
I don't think anyone thinks we're getting paid for this. Do we have to make that point? Oh, by the way, guys, we're all getting paid.
I mean,
he'll remove dents. Oh, hang on. So he's a person who effectively removes evidence. This is going down the wrong.
It's recommended as one of the best of Staffordshire.
Enjoy yourself, Staffordshire. Right, on the way next, we'll delve into some more news.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.
Morning, 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 morning. Let's delve into another one. Yoga leads to Satan. Not my words, the words of a Northern Ireland priest. A Catholic priest in Northern Ireland has warned that those who enjoy yoga and Indian head massage are taking risks with their spiritual health, aka burning in hell. They open themselves up to Satan and the fallen angels. Now, I like an Indian head massage. I am doomed. We're all doomed.
Surely the time when we gave a shit what Catholic priests said has passed.
Was Father Ted.
Just like now, like a Catholic priest said something, nah, I couldn't give a fuck.
Do you not think that, I mean, also, I guess that he's just sticking to the party line, isn't he? He's saying you're going to burn in hell. I mean, I've never been Catholic or a priest, but isn't that not what they do? Just saying you're going to burn in hell all the time.
Well, he said something about the kingdom of darkness, which I thought was a reference to Watford. But hey, I grew up in Watford. I'm allowed to say that.
This guy, I've been to Watford, you're allowed to say that. I mean, what I love is he's opened himself up to Satan and the Fallen Angels. If that is not already the name of a band, that should be. Because he said it leads to it will lead Christians to the Kingdom of Darkness, which I think would be their first album.
It's
the Kingdom of Darkness from Satan and the Fallen Angels.
That was not the DJ voice I was going to go with for that, because that would be new music, rocky stuff. That would be kind of, I'm not even trying. It's just like, I'm so cool, I'm not even, it's like this new album from it's the Kingdom of Darkness by Satan and the Fallen Angels. Have a listen. That's how they do it.
That's how they do it. Sorry.
If it was Cheesy Pop, well, then you'd be like, what a great new song by the Kingdom of Darkness as Satan. Yeah, that's how they do it.
You all sound the same to me.
Racist again.
I mean, I don't do yoga either. I mean,
really?
I don't do any exercise.
Am I allowed Pilates?
Not Pilates.
Do you do Pilates?
I went through a phase of doing Pilates. A Pilates phase. I don't know anymore.
Was that her name?
That was...
What?
That is so wide of the mark. I want to high five you for it. That's brilliant. I have all the "that's what she said" themed jokes. There is no way you could fit one in there, is there? That's what she said. That's how you do it. Now, no, I went through a Pilates phase. I suffer from a bad back. In case I don't sound sexy enough by saying I've not had a drink for 8 years and now my life is dull, yeah, I often get a bad back. When I was in my 20s, I put my back out once. I twisted on the toilet, as in to reach for something, not the music. And we were young, we were foolish. We didn't have a toilet roll holder. We used to keep the toilet roll on the shelf behind the toilet.
It's always annoying when people do that. And you're like, seriously, like, the one place don't put it is there.
Yeah,
180 degrees behind me.
I thought I was flexible. I was a crazy young thing.
You guys are all too tall. That's not a problem for me.
What,
you don't wipe your ass because you're short? What?
No, it's easy to reach back there. Because... You guys are like,
less
that's the
of
height.
You. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're struggling because you got the height. Because you're, how tall are you?
I'm packing a 6'2".
And you're?
Yeah, 6'3", 6'4", something.
God, I'm envious of those extra couple of inches.
5'7" and a bit.
Yeah. Well, I've put those extra inches in the wrong place. The least good place to have the extra inches is just where you bump into shit, you know?
Yeah.
Although I think if you have a massive penis, you can also bump into things with it.
Yeah, but
not, that's just showy, isn't it? Kind of, oh, look at me.
But not low ceilings.
Imagine if you could. You would with it. So yeah, there was toilet roll behind. I twisted. I was like, I'm done with whatever I was doing. I'm just going to, oh my God. And then I was there on the toilet because my then other half had gone away. She was working somewhere in the north for a week. I was just trapped on a toilet. This was like 20, this is like 127 hours, like that film. But I was not pinned by a rock. I had a bad back on a toilet.
Did you have to cut off your arm?
Yeah, I cut off my own back. So I do Pilates for that, which I think I've often thought I should really man up and do some yoga. Like, Pilates is all very well, but I should just do the full... This is the thing, I didn't realise.
Did you realise that you were opening your... So that's the phrase. You don't know what you're opening yourself up to when you do... Were you opening yourself up to better posture, improved health?
And flexibility.
Yeah.
Although the difference between Pilates and yoga is that one of the categories sometimes becomes a little bit of a preachy dick about really being one with myself. No one ever does Pilates and does that stuff.
No.
Kind of waffles on about really being in the moment. Although I do like to be that person.
This priest guy, he said, I got the quote, while people may decide to take up yoga with good intentions, no one takes up yoga with bad intentions. No one's going into it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, because of the power and the greed.
Yeah.
Every single time Frank Underwood does some, he's got a rowing machine and it breaks in season one actually. He used to do
very
some yoga
symbolic.
And then he picks up running. No, he should have done yoga. Evil yoga. Makes me
sick.
But
they are always trying to find new ways to do, because there's Bikram yoga, isn't there?
Yep.
Which is basically just yoga in a sauna.
Yep.
But evil yoga, how to bend over and trip people up and bend over and pick pockets. And
I've become one with myself and I'm a right dick.
I found myself, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an arsehole.
Yeah, I was trying to make a Jim will fix it yoga gag, but I couldn't get there in time.
Good. If we could announce all of the jokes we also don't do.
I think it's important for the listener to understand the process that we go through. That sometimes there'll be a moment where you think, I can see it. And it just slips out of your hands.
So you could reach it
if I was taller.
What were the pieces of the joke? And let's put a joke together then. So we're talking about yoga. You want to do a callback to Jim will fix
and
it.
And names of different evil yoga. And then maybe if we could Jim will yoga it. Something along those lines, but I know that's not funny.
So no, I'm not saying no, but we're not expecting it to be funny, but yet. No, but because we haven't worked.
That's good.
So we're brainstorming the idea of Jimmy Savile and yoga.
Yep.
God, that, how evil must that seem to a Catholic priest? He's just thinking, that's the, when he's thinking of Satan, he's thinking of Jim will fix it doing yoga.
That's getting closer. We're
in the ballpark of a joke.
Yeah. Ballpark also is something we could work with. But the so I worry. So I was going to do yoga. I get a bad back. I took up running instead, very much like Frank Underwood. But I was going to do yoga. I didn't realize that would make me. You know, I mean, I'm already going to hell. I've done some jokes that are not on this show, but I've done some jokes in the past that I'm definitely going to burn for. But yeah, I was worried.
Doesn't running bug your knees out?
Well, I run on soft terrain. I don't do road running.
What's wrong with soft terrain?
That's what her name is.
And I'm just going to let those happen in the back. That's going to be like a B track. That's beautiful. I run on grass and other soft paths around the area in which I live. And I worry about the knees, but you know, if you focus on every step, you can do it all right.
But if basically he's not an advocate for cross-culturalism, because if something you do automatically means you're going to hell because that other culture is not associated with
right, so
Catholic
Indian
values.
Head massage is a Hindu-related out. Thing. You're going to burn. I had a bagel yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why Catholics, they don't. I mean, most religions are all in the same area. A lot of them are Abrahamic. Yeah. I can't, that's not the word.
Even the Smurfs are a little bit Abrahamic, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, so basically he shouldn't be like picking on other religions. He's got to realize that actually they're all doing the same thing. If they get on board together, if all the religions of the world joined up and then took on us non-believers, then maybe they could win that battle. Mm. Maybe they could actually get somewhere. But while they're all fighting along, says, our God is the one. You know, this is the only way. You're not allowed to bend over and have people massage your hair, but you are allowed to do whatever they do in the Catholic Church and set
which
your
I think
own joke.
Involved
bending over
and having someone touch your hair.
Yeah,
interesting. I didn't. Oh, we almost put Jim will fix it in that joke, and that's what you're aiming for right from the start. I just realised, crap. I spent a lot of time watching Tom Cruise films. That means I'm getting some whiff of Scientology as well. A mixture of all the worst stuff over here.
Man. That is not good.
Trying to think of other religions that have things associated with them.
John Travolta is Scientology, isn't he? Yeah. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's the face touching thing. Maybe that's
the Scientologist.
Maybe he's sort of baptizing people.
We are linking touching and religion together, and there's going to be complaints. But no, it's good. We put some Jimmy in there. We've got it. So I'm not sure. There is no throw out message on this. What is there? There's no phone in. What have you done that's vaguely religious? No, let's not. Let's not do that.
What have you done that will send you to hell?
Well,
call us on Chuba Radio.
Do you know what? If we're mixing in foreign cultures and doing things wrong, look at this. I know, but you can say it on the station. It was a slip of the tongue. You know, people have been sacked. If ever you read travel news for Kent, and they always have bad traffic near the Kent County Showground.
Yeah.
That's how people lose that
job. But it's even worse when you put the word foreign before.
Well, yeah, that makes it tricky.
It's very John Terry.
As long as he's supporting me, I'll be fine. There is a story of the angry Indian bride who married a wedding guest because her groom-to-be had a seizure and collapsed. There's two ways to take this story. Like, what a dick. What kind of a person shows up on his wedding day and collapses and has a seizure? Yeah, of course you should marry some guy who can actually get married.
But when you said there's two ways to take this story, I didn't
is that
think,
not one of them?
I did not think that was... I thought maybe you were going to say she's a dick. Or, but no, him for having a seizure...
I'm just trying to bring counterpoint, and maybe I should have let that be point first.
The thing is, he had not told her he was epileptic.
What
Hillary
an
Clinton.
Hillary
what
Clinton.
What an asshole.
So
he had hidden this information from her.
He had a medic alert
married,
bracelet.
And then he got a little bit excited and agitated on the wedding day, and he had a fit.
But for all of the things to hide from your wife, like, being epileptic is not a big... Like, the fact is,
so
when you hide your drug-taking and your womanizing...
I imagine he might have been on drugs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's...
That was a beautiful moment of just... I could sense the momentum was about to dry up. I thought, I'll let it happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy listening back to the show way more than the others. This is beautiful. So, yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. It's
so
like
what's
in a
the
duel.
Other way? Sorry, I interrupted
yeah, what's
you.
The other
what's the there's two ways you can take this. One is that
how impatient of her. He's better off without her. The kind of woman who would be like, well, if you are not fit to stand during this wedding, I'm going to marry that dude. Firstly, that also, that dude... Well, he's a bit ready for something.
Yeah.
Who turns up to a wedding ready to marry just in case?
Just thinking, this could be my day.
And he's... this is about me. But he was in the family of the groom, wasn't he? He was in that... Like, yeah. And it's going to be a difficult...
Christmas gets a bit tricky, although...
I was...
Fortunately.
They don't...
do.
That's why they got married.
They do some Christmas celebrations. But the thing is, the guy he was very upset about not getting married too once he came out of the hospital, because he was worried about being ridiculed by his friends and relatives once he went home without a bride. Because there's nothing worse. You leave the house, say, I'm going to be back later, and I'm going to be bringing back my bride. So see you then. And then you come home brideless. That, I mean, I've got no end of shit for that.
If I had a pound.
It's just, it's so embarrassing.
Hour done, heading into hour three. I mean, hour two is not meant to be quite as silly, and I've enjoyed it way too much. So hour three could just be the most ridiculous dicking around fest ever. We'll find out the hard way.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Ripping you a news one.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Stephen Allen. So we've gone 12 at 1 o'clock. Ray Peacock's going to be here. Justin Lee Collins here from 4. That's your day sorted out. We're in some news at the moment, looking at some of the stuff that's been in the news. I'm joined by Eric McIlroy over there. Hello.
Hello.
Joined by Luke Chilton over there. Hello.
Hello.
Beautiful. And also, we're going to be joined now because there's news research that has shown that 2/3 of us aren't using our smartphones to full capacity, which is odd because if you are an Apple iPhone user who's tried to upgrade, full capacity are the words that the bane of your existence. That is way outdated. But remember when the update happened and no one could update because they didn't have enough space?
Oh, yeah.
Keeping it relevant with my topical jokes from halfway through last year. So now, to find out more, we're joined now by Chairman of Oftech, Martin Bridges, who can help us get to the bottom of this. Hello, Martin.
Hello.
So, Oftech, first of all, what is Oftech?
Well, Oftech is it's one of the... actually, it's one of the side issues in a way, but it's the Oil Firing Technical Association. I'm chairman of that, but I'm speaking to you not only as a representative of that, but also as an employee of Worcester Bosch, who have come out with a device, amongst other manufacturers who have, which control your heating system from smart device.
They do that now. And also, well, Oftech has got the word tech in it, which means you are the perfect person to get to the bottom of a technology. So that is the level that we work at.
Very flattering of you to say so.
Beautiful. So what's the deal? Why aren't we using our phones? What?
Well, we are. The phones, I think 3/4 of us now have access to both phones and tablets and smart TVs and things. But in more recent years, there's been a spate of sort of innovations which have come out which allow you to interact with your home a lot more. And I suppose the biggest energy-saving thing within the home is the heating system. It's programmed to come on, or timed to come on, for about 8 or 9 months of the year. So every morning for an hour or two, every afternoon, evening for 7 or 8 hours. So if we could defer that from happening, if perhaps we're coming home late from work,
yeah, make some
and
savings,
via our
yeah.
phone we can delay the heating system for an hour or two.
'Cause you're right.
Then all that starts to add up. And nowadays, as you're probably aware, the average heating and electricity bill for a home is around £1,300. So as much as 10% saving of that, for instance, is well worth considering.
Energy ain't cheap, you're right. So you're right, when these days our phones can like remotely access our homes, we can control the heating, you can certainly set TV shows to record. And you can get things as well where you can see like webcams from your own house for security reasons. I say we should combine the two. If you observe that you are being robbed, turn the heating off. If you're going to get robbed,
them out.
Yeah, I don't want to heat the gits
no,
as well
heat,
as Luke.
Heat them out, because that's going to make it uncomfortable. If somebody starts getting really hot, they'd be having a hot flash. Maybe they think they're having a heart attack. They panic. They drop your stuff and leave.
That is a beautiful put. That tell them people who made this app to put that in there as well, or a smoke bomb as well. Yeah. That's another thing.
Yeah, tie it in. Or could it create a gas leak in your house and then you blow the rubber up?
Not with how expensive gas is these days, Eric. I don't know if you know that the average heating bill on a house is £1,300, was it?
Yeah. It's roughly £1,300. Obviously, that's for a sort of three-bed semi. Go upwards and up it goes. And actually, there are some devices which help stop theft as well. You can interact with your phone. There's a if you're on oil-fired central heating, there's a gadget which sits in the oil tank, and it can tell your smartphone if there is an over-consumption of oil. In other words, if somebody's siphoning oil out of your tank, it'll send you a text to say something iffy is going on.
And then you can just explode the entire tank.
Yes.
Just options, just throwing out options there. So, I suppose, because phones aren't phones, are they, really? These days, phones are computers with the ability to make phone calls.
Absolutely. That's probably their worst attribute, is actually making a phone call, because inevitably you
the
you
worst attribute,
something.
Receiving a phone call. Yeah. Like, hi, yeah. You might be entitled to some PPI. Oh, get off my phone and let me control my heating.
Yes, they are more of a smart device than a phone itself, to be quite honest. And these new innovations, like door locks, that's another great idea, I think, where perhaps if you've ever had something like a holiday let and you turn up at your cottage in Cornwall and you have to wait for somebody to either give you the key or there's one of those combination safes on the wall and you have to somehow get the key out of there, they can now open the door from, you know, anywhere in the world and let you in. And conversely, you can do that for, I don't know, if you've got a tradesman or you've got a care worker or something like that trying to get into your house.
Or the honey trap for these burglars that I want to explode next to my...
Indeed, you can lock them in.
I'm liking this is the way forward, trust me. This is, So as someone who's into the world of technology, I'm assuming you're a smartphone owner and user?
I am, yes.
Which side? Because there tends to be the battle of the two, isn't there? There's the Apple people and then the Android people.
Yes, both have their merits, don't they? And both have, I'm sure, their disadvantages. One's cheaper than the other. But both of them can download an app from the various sites, and away you go then. It's just how the sort of personal interface on the phone or the device is.
Which way do you lean?
I lean to the Apple devices.
Yes!
you're on the line there with Eric, who's a fellow Apple user. He loves it.
You're my man. It's awesome, isn't it?
Why are you so obsessed? Well, both of you, why are you obsessed?
You just said that you're the cheap option, you're the inferior option, and that if you really want to help heat your home properly, you would do it with an iPhone.
I think that's
clearly what you were saying.
I can't afford an iPhone. Do you know how much my heating... But it's £1,300 a year.
If only you had an app to help you with that.
By the way, I do control the heating in my house. Genuinely true. We have one of these.
You want the apps?
Yeah, you have one of these. It's called Hive, is the one that we have. And it's amazing. Genuinely amazing. It makes you incredibly lazy because I just... Because our heating control is on the ground floor. Bedroom is on the third floor. And so, yeah, we just...
You don't want down those stairs
never
anymore.
Go down the stairs. It's also a bit cold. Put the heating on.
Do you live like in a mansion or something?
What three floors, but it's very narrow, but it's three floors, yeah.
So
there's a lot to be said for that, because quite often the controls are sited in, you know, not very hospitable places. Your boiler's perhaps in the cellar or the garage, and you've got to stand next to it and set the time. So half the time people can't be bothered. They would do it, though, if they're sat on a nice sofa in the lounge, you know, the comfort there, you can... take your time and precisely set it to what you wish.
And of course the thing we do is it's been so cold for the last couple of months, you're on your way home from whatever and you're like, put the heating on, you know, and you put it on half an hour before you get home, and it's pretty much the best thing in my life.
That's going to cost you
more money.
That's one. Kids probably make the top three or five. Girlfriend's in there somewhere. Working with you guys this week is...
So for you, having this device has actually probably increased your heating bill.
Well, no, because the thing is, sort of as Martin pointed out, that what most people would do is they have it set to come on twice a day. So right off the bat, we only have it set to come on every morning. And so if we're not there in the evening, it doesn't come on because we don't put it on.
Okay.
Martin, I think that's the way forward, though, to make sure that when people are plugging these apps, also talk about the fact that you can just leave your ass in bed and control the heating.
Everything.
And I don't want to go into my basement because that's where I've also got the booby traps for all the criminals. So it's a risk, and I can control my heating with just using the apps. If people would like to find out more, Martin, is there like a website-y thing they could head to?
Yes, the Worcester Bosch website. So that's worcester-bosch.co.uk. There's information on our wave controller on there and other energy-saving tips and bits of advice as well.
Worcester Bosch, excellent stuff. If only I had some way of looking at the internet.
Like a device.
Like a phone or something.
If your device ever worked.
Oh, just because I'm Android, don't judge me. Listen, Martin, thank you very much for joining us and giving us the info.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. So there we go. We're up to speed with...
It's hard. I can't really imagine using my smartphone much more than I already do. So that's just giving me another reason not to interact with my family.
The problem is, as well, I suppose, when your phone stops working. I mean,
freeze to death.
Yeah, my last phone I had to send off to be repaired because the speaker and the bit that you put near your ear, that bit stopped working. I could still listen to annoying music on the back of a bus because I try and be young, but I couldn't actually have phone calls. And I did not miss it for so long. But I was like, okay, eventually I have to send it off to get fixed. I had a replacement phone, but it wasn't good enough. They just gave me some cheap ass phone, and for a week I didn't have the ability to tweet and like live my life through my phone. Oh, I didn't like it.
I didn't like it. Oh. Loads of people, though, when they do that, they always speak about how I really liked it. Yeah,
yeah, they've got friends.
I reconnected with my children. Oh. Yeah. But it sounds a bit like when... It sounds a bit like, you know, when they say we only use 10% of our brains and stuff like that. You know, we're only using sort of 10% of our phones or whatever. But like, yeah, what is the other 90% of our brains? It's all some X-Men shit.
They're right. It's superpowers. Yeah. If you have the ability. I mean, when was the last time you moved something with the power of your brain? Never, because you're just idle. You lie in bed controlling your heating like some waster.
Yeah, I would do more things with my brain, but I've got apps for that.
All I'm saying is that at the moment, if my phone crashes, I get withdrawal symptoms from like all the internet stuff that keeps me a person. I'd then have to do it in the cold. It's a worry. All right, on the way in. Oh, it won't be too long until we start delving into the problem pages of the newspapers, seeing other people's problems. We will give the proper, reasonable response that you can only expect from three stand-up comedians.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, ripping you a news one.
What you got for us, Emac?
Officials in India want to make one thing clear. The tree that President Barack Obama planted when he visited New Delhi is not dead.
The tree is not dead?
The tree is not dead.
This so just in.
It just looks dead, according to this news article. And I think that is... the thing that gets me about this is that Obama cannot do anything without somebody looking to see what the negative repercussions are. There's press staked out watching this tree,
right,
waiting for it to show some signs of seasonal change or to
trees
die.
Do trees do lose.
Yeah, I mean...
It's quite normal, isn't it?
Yes, he's been so criticized for... He cannot do anything without somebody waiting to criticize him for it.
Was it a non-deciduous tree? And if it was planted by a Republican, that thing would have thrived because of free market economics.
I'm not comfortable with your racist description of the tree, but I think that it's called a peephole tree. People tree.
A people tree. You're thinking of a family tree, and that is different, and it is not dead.
Peephole.
There's a Monty Python sketch in this, surely. This tree is a X tree. A dead tree.
It is not dead.
The tree's not dead.
It is.
It's gone to tree heaven.
But it even says in the news article that the trees, this news article is negating itself in the news article, saying these trees often lose their leaves this time of year. So it's
tree.
Come on.
Tree loses leaves. Obama to blame. Is effective the headline.
Let the man have a break. I mean, he's had a lot of obstacles. Just in America, it's nonstop. He can't do anything without being criticized.
He's been criticized for the way in which he managed to try and keep GM's car manufacturing afloat. And
save now the car industry.
So either way, he's not very good with plants. Because that is the name of a place with manufacturing.
Is that one of your puns there, Luke? Do you
both.
Think?
Yeah.
Does that reinstill your faith in puns? Or does that just reinforce?
No, it reinforces everything that I think is wrong about the pun as
manufacturing plant. And load. A tree, which is not... So, also, every week we get a little update on the crazy-ass weird stuff that seems to happen in America. For this, we get to be joined on the phone by Mary. Hello!
Hello, good morning.
Hello in the crazy world of America. So how are things in the crazy world of America?
Now, there's a gentleman named Stephen Merrill of Winter Haven, Florida. He passed away last week at the age of 31.
Could we just have a moment there for Stephen? What was his surname? Merrill?
Merrill, yes.
A little moment there for Stephen. Oh. And carry on.
At the time of his passing, they were not sure of the cause of death, and he was a big comic book fan, so his best friend said in the obituary that he wanted them to put that he passed away from an uppercut from Batman.
Right. Okay. Ooh, ouch.
And his fiance said he would love that. That's perfect. And at first, they didn't want to do it, but then they said no. His whole family agreed this would be perfect for him, and so that's what they ran with. So the obituary officially said that he died of an uppercut from Batman. And they had superhero shirts. They all wore superhero shirts to his funeral. They actually had, I saw a picture, they had a flower arrangement that looked like the Captain America shield.
Right. Oh, they are mixing up their DC and their Marvel. They don't care, do they?
They don't care. No, he actually worked at Lego World in Florida. So
he got uppercutted by the Lego Batman. That's not the same. Uppercut from proper Batman's one thing, but if you've been beaten up by Lego...
They didn't specify proper Batman. They just said uppercut from Batman. I think it kind of goes without saying Batman is what they were implying.
Oh, there. Yeah. Yeah, the real and in no way fictional Batman, that one. Yeah, well done. Yeah.
Sure, the real Batman, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Do you know what? That's interesting, isn't it? Not that we're doing like a phone-in thing, but if you could die at the hand of a superhero, how and why? Not how and why. How and, you know, which one? Which one and how would they kill you?
I think I would laugh to death from the Joker. Die of laughter.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, because sometimes you like drugs peoples and things, and you get some gas, and then you laugh yourself to death.
Yeah. There's worse ways to go, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think it would take ages, and sometimes when you laugh too much, you get stomach ache and cheek ache. It's like the way they always say, like, drowning apparently isn't that bad. As soon as you get over the worst thing, then you kind of get high from the lack of oxygen. I imagine the laughing is probably hellish, and I bet you poo your pants.
I'll do a Princess Bride laughing and then keel over. That was quick.
You do a what, sorry?
The Princess Bride.
Oh, I genuinely thought you said Princess Die.
Oh, God, no.
That is a conspiracy theory I have not heard yet. You can't drive well when you're laughing. Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Brilliant. Well, you know, yes, I think we've learned something there. Thanks very much for the update, Mary.
You're very welcome.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
So another thing we like to do is we finish with the newspapers, the newsy part of it. There's the section at the back of the newspapers where people prattle on about their own problems, which is exactly what people do in life. But the problem pages often get a response by whoever's employed to do these. I sometimes find the responses aren't adequate. They're just someone who works for the newspaper saying, yeah, communicate more and call my helpline. It will cost you £1.53 a minute. You want proper advice? You turn to three stand-up comedians in a room. All three of us need in the toilet. That's information we gained a little while ago. So I will go through the story, and then if you've got any advice for this poor person, I think it might be, we'll find out the gender of it as I read it. Just chip in with some advice. Here's the first one. I've had the most brilliant sex with my brother's girl. I'm going to stop you right there. That's not his niece. Just in case you would.
Do we know that yet?
We don't know that yet.
Okay. We don't know what gender.
We're assuming that that's not the case.
We're praying
that that's not the case, because it's going to be harder to take the piss out of this.
Yeah. I've had the most brilliant sex with my brother's girl. I don't get on with him at all, and I'll be dead if he finds out. Maybe don't write to a newspaper. They're banning them.
Is this from one of the guys from Oasis, one of the Gallaghers? Because they don't get along.
They don't get along well. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that
sure.
Over a girl? I didn't really follow their downfall.
The Appleton sisters were amazing. My brother is 21. He's arty and smart and thinks he's God's gift. He works in a shop that sells pictures and vases and other daft things. You'd think he owns an art gallery the way he goes on. This is not really to do with this girl at all, is it? I'm 18, doing A-levels. I don't know what my job will be yet, but it won't be working in a shop like a dick. My brother's girlfriend is gorgeous. She's 19 and half French. Very posh and exotic. I fancied her from the moment I saw her with him, and I got feelings that she liked me too. She came to our house on Friday night, as my brother was meant to be taking her out. He hadn't got back from the shop. Oh, he's vases to sell. You know, this dude's got stuff going on. So I asked her in to sit down and to wait. Is it S-A-A-V-U? Can't remember now. She... Look at Eric's face. That was the GCSE French, and I do not remember it. Luke, did you do GCSE French?
No, mate.
Okay. I was on my own.
I was so bad at English, they got a special permission to give me extra English lessons.
How?
Instead of... Everyone else went off to learn French, and they're like, Luke, not you, mate.
Yeah.
They're coming here.
You want to try one language before you go for a second one.
Look how far you've come.
Yeah, let's not look at that.
She then got a text from my brother saying he was going to be late. There was Coke in the fridge, so I asked if she wanted a can. She said yes, if I had one too. I pulled. Oh, this is getting sexy. It's Diet Coke.
That was
and probably
Coke
there.
I was doing the sound for the Coke. I didn't just blow my nose on the radio. I was trying to do sound effects to go with the story.
I'm not a drug fiend, but do you keep that in the fridge?
I don't know, Luke. You seem to be the most druggy guy based on your earlier near confessions.
Yeah.
Do you keep it in the fridge?
I didn't know.
Okay, thanks.
She was wearing...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
And that's why you'll never run for public office.
Because his fridge is like a scene from Scarface. She said yes, if I want to. I've done that bit. She was wearing a... She was wearing a tiny short skirt and a shockingly low-cut top. No, it's either or, isn't it? You either do low-cut top or a tiny short skirt. You either do cleavage or legs, don't you? Am I The only one who knows the rules of the...
Depends on which part of the country we're in.
She looked quite amazing. I was turned on. Well, you would be. She's getting you a coat from the fridge. She teased me that I looked a little bit hot and leaned in and kissed me. I couldn't resist. The next thing I knew, we were down on the floor having sex. Sur la table. But not on a table. I can't remember French for floor. My very first time, I'm embarrassed to say. It all worked out fine. In fact, more than fine. It was out of this world. Then she got worried my brother would walk in through the door with a vase. I must admit, it crossed my mind too. She told me that she'd tell him... Oh, hang on. She told me she'd waited a while, but then had to go home. I'm confused. And then she disappeared into the night, left me a quivering wreck. That does happen the first time. I couldn't face my brother, so I went down the pub on my own. I could hardly believe what I'd done. This is another one. I'm going to throw it out here. I think this is one of those stories where he's not even asked for advice.
He's just bragging.
He's just... Yeah.
Just like,
there is no question at the end of it. What's the question? Should I do it again? You might not get the offer.
How long does it take someone to say, I shagged my brother's girlfriend? That's what you did, fellas.
Reminds me of the penthouse forums that I never read.
I don't know what advice you could give. Because it would be don't do it again, but you are not going to get the offer again. You are doing A-levels. Your brother owns a shop. Now, as much as you might diss the retail sector, dude's got his own business.
He works in a shop. He doesn't own the shop. Oh. Don't big the brother up.
Oh, I thought he owned vase shops.
He's just
a lot of money in vases these days. So.
Is there? Is that what he's hoping for, if you find one with money in it?
We're on fire. I mean, it's not a hot-burning fire.
I wish Luke would stop looking at us like that.
So, what advice could you give to our little shag buddy here?
I feel that, I can speak because my girlfriend is half French. And
oh, so you are very
so
much...
I know all about how difficult I have a brother, yeah.
Does he do A-levels?
Only if he's been kept back for the last, 23 years or something?
Well, we actually got this letter about 20 years ago. So, did you ever work?
It just goes to show how little my family pay attention to my career, that they think I work in a vase shop.
That's actually a reason we brought you here today, Luke. And here's your brother now.
Yes. He's welcome to.
Oof. He'll be happy with his vases.
The biggest takeaway from this is, A, it's wrong that he's engaged in this kind of behavior, but he's got issues with his brother.
Yeah.
I mean, real serious competitive issues there.
Yeah. And you know what? I would take you up on the thing, obviously, it's wrong, because I think, no, it's not.
Really?
I think, you know, when you get these stories when, you know how we did last week and we were talking about it, and I got a little bit sort of moral high ground when there were people who had children and they were having sex with other people. And I think then it is wrong. You have responsibility. When you're 18, 21-year-olds and some 19-year-old half-French girl comes in, who gives a fuck everyone, whatever, you know, fuck it. Like this is an issue. You're a child. It does not matter. You're having sex with someone. Enjoy it. So what if she's already had a relationship with your brother? Get
or
over
is it. Having a relationship with your brother.
Having, whatever. Like, they can't.
So wait, I missed that part of last week. So because I have children now, I'm not supposed to have sex anymore, which is
no. I think you often get these stories where they're cheating on, and they are. I think cheat on anyone, do whatever you want, but I think the moment you have kids, I think you have a responsibility. Split up with your wife, talk to your children, and then go and check someone else if you want.
I guess the only slight tricky thing in that logic is that if your advice is, if you don't have kids, shag as many people as you can, that's the way that you're going to end up having some kids with someone that you don't want to settle down with. You got to be careful. You got to make sure you are protected. Lock that front door if your brother's coming home.
They invented condoms for.
Yeah. And we'll use a vase.
A French letter, as they call it. Sorry, mate. Your joke was very good. I was trying to show that despite the fact I never studied French...
You punned. It's
I
almost
had
a
French letter. You know, that's what they... It's the nickname.
Is
for
it?
A condom.
Is a letter.
A French letter.
A French letter.
Yeah.
Why is it called French letter?
Because
you don't get them till you're at least 16. What?
It was. I think it was because back in the day when, 400 years ago, or whatever, when like the posh people used to travel around Europe, they would either is because they were then having sex with lots of French people who they believed to have syphilis because we hated the French as we still do. They would then send a letter with like a prophylactic in it, or they would send them back home. It's something like that in a letter. They would send a condom in a
because posh people, as we established earlier, like to be clean.
They beautiful, absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Only, I mean, that's a true sign of someone being posh if you don't want syphilis. On the way, then we'll look at some more of these stories.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy, ripping you a news one.
And because I don't plan very well, we are joined today by Luke Tulson playing the role of me, but I'm still here because I did not realise my flight tomorrow is tomorrow. Dealing with the problem pages. The advice is never as good, so we're delving through some of the stuff that's been written into the newspapers. Now, Eric, you've got one. I'm going to guess it's about sex.
Yes. This is me reading the letter now.
You always feel that, don't you? Even though everyone knows you're reading a letter, as soon as you go
if somebody tunes in right now, they'll be like, why is Eric confessing this?
Well, that's why you've got to do the Dear Steve, Eric, and Luke.
Dear Steve, Eric, and Luke. I had sex with my mum's friend, and I think I love her.
You had sex with your mum? Oh, you're doing it as a letter. Sorry, I got confused.
I know she is way too old for me. She is nearly 40.
Oh.
Let's just stop that right now. That is not too old. Oh. All right. I realized I was getting old because I'm on the other side of 40 now. I was at a gig, and I started. There was a young, she was an adult woman with her mum there, and I realized of the two that I was doing playful banter flirt with.
Mm.
I was going for the mum. The 20-something year old daughter, she just looked too young and it felt creepy. So I was playing up to the mum. Although when the lights came up, I'd made a mistake.
Oh, but, no.
I know she's way too old for me. She's nearly 40 and I'm 16 in a couple weeks. Which, all right, maybe that is more of a difference. That is a little bit, seeing the context there. I should have read the rest of that sentence.
To be fair, I remember being young and you do learn indeed, you know, without getting into too much details, if I were to... You know, there might have been a lady who was 25 when I was 18, and I learned everything I know from that lady. Hardly at 25, I learned everything. I mean, yeah, not every. I also learned GCC. She didn't teach that. She did not. I did that. My little bit of French earlier on, not from that 25-year-old.
Okay.
What are the French kissing? Oh, yeah. You knew it was. Anyway, carry on.
What I do know is that she's the woman of my dreams. This friend of my mom's used to live next door. She moved away, but still visits my mom, and they chat over a bottle of wine. I needed to get something for homework a couple of weeks ago, and I walked in to hear my mom telling her how she caught me masturbating. I was so embarrassed.
No, of course she did. It's hard to run when you're masturbating.
My mother caught me masturbating once. She said, if you're going to keep that up, you're going to get some girl pregnant. Explains why my mother did not do well on the birth control front.
Yeah.
It's going back to the letter now. I was so embarrassed, I went to my room and stayed there. Later, this friend knocked on my
door.
Oh, yeah,
what did he do in that room?
And came in. Yeah. She said she'd just come to reassure me and sat down on the bed where I was lying. Which is what you do. When someone comes in your room, you always just keep lying on the bed. I said, anyway. She told me masturbation was normal, but my mum should not have mentioned it, as what I do in private is my own business. I felt better. The next thing I knew, she had her arm around me and was kissing me. She said she could show me real sex was much better than by yourself.
Is it?
Depends on who you're with.
Hmm.
She sex texted me over the next couple of weeks and suggested I go around to her house after school one day. We had sex, and it was wonderful. Again, the phrase, after school one day,
your
context is always a little bit... Since then, I cannot sleep for thinking about her. I said it was great being with her, and I asked if I could go around again. She said she didn't know what I meant. She doesn't talk to me now. I love her so much, I don't know what to do.
Oh, sadly, I think I know what's going on here.
Okay.
Right. You know this whole thing like, how was the sex? And then the punchline isn't like, it depends on who you ask.
Right.
I think that's what's happening here. The person says, we had sex and it was wonderful. Yeah, according to you, but you have not been invited back for round two. Bad sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get over it, dude. That's the thing. Like, you're 16, you got to have sex. Well done, move on. You got another 10 years. 10 years of this. Just meaningless.
Another 10 years. And after that.
And then after that.
Nothing. Then you stop drinking.
Maybe 20 years, but then after that you pick someone and you just keep occasionally having sex with them. But at
you
the
get
moment,
to have sex occasionally?
Occasionally.
Just like on big occasions as well. Just yeah. Like birthdays, yeah, Christmas, well, Queen Jubilee, I yeah, think.
She doesn't call it a big occasion.
Or whenever a friend of my mum comes around, you know.
It does read like another letter from forum.
Yeah. Right. So the advice is just, yeah, well,
just
there'll be more.
Enjoy the fact it happens.
Well done.
Come on.
Yeah.
Your mum's got more friends.
Yeah, there you go. And just maybe keep your masturbation to your room.
So, it was in the room, but then the mum walked in.
Yep.
Knock first.
Which happens.
As in before you're walking up
to masturbate.
Room,
so that was my mistake.
So, third letter. Lou, you gonna handle this one?
Yeah, this is everything that every agony aunt letter has ever been. Dear Steve, Eric, and Luke, my boyfriend is thrilled that I am pregnant.
Dun, dun, dun.
So you're pregnant? Oh, no, this is the one. Sorry.
But I'm not sure whether he is the father.
Oh, this is
like every episode of Jeremy Kyle, right? This is the hook. He is white. Can we guess what color the other guy was?
Otherwise, that'd be a really weird sentence, wouldn't it? He is white, and the other guy is white, just so you know.
I am a Chelsea fan. No. He is white, and the other guy is black. We have been together for 6 years. He's 29, I'm 28. We love each other, but have been going through a bad patch.
Which, yep.
I always confide in my brother when things were bad. He's 2 years older and an understanding guy. Couldn't give a shit about him. He is irrelevant. This is standard. To stick to the point.
Is she saying there could be three fathers and one of them's the brother?
No,
is the brother
not.
Is the brother black?
She's giving us unnecessary information. I had a massive row with my boyfriend a week before Christmas and went to see my brother. He was on a night out with his work colleagues, but his best mate was there. Which, what? Like, he went around to see his friend? Or maybe he lives with a friend, I guess. They went to school together and share a flat. Okay, right. Fair enough. Sorry.
Well, so his best mate was there because they live.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
She's not staying on. You're right. No. She does. She's way off.
But yes. I love
maybe
how
that's why she had a fight with her boyfriend.
You're morally judging her for going around when he's on a mate's night out. That's where that was heading. You were like, why would you interrupt? She's pregnant by another dude. There's your moral judgment.
No, I didn't know what this her brother's friend was doing in her brother's friend's house. But then I forgot. Obviously, other people don't have to live with their partners. I'm totally cool with. He invited me in and comforted me, helping me see things differently. Can anyone guess what color this guy is and where this is ending up? When I felt calmer, he opened a bottle of wine and we just chatted, you know, just a chat. Then we got closer and started kissing. Ooh. We ended up having sex. I know it was wrong, but his touch made me explode like I've never done before. It was wonderful, but I thought it was a one-off. Now I found out I'm pregnant, and I don't know what to do. If it's my brother's friend's baby, my boyfriend is going to realize as soon as it's born. I can't have a termination because he knows how much I want to have a baby, and he is so happy about it. I love my boyfriend. Do you? Do you really? You keep saying this. I love my boyfriend, but I have started to develop feelings for my friends, my brother's friend, too. I'm worried sick. Is there any way of finding out what ethnicity a baby is? I genuinely don't know that answer.
I don't think there is.
Inside, you can't. Ooh. Because they're black and white, the things, aren't they? So the scans...
Yeah. We need some clarification right there. No, yes. Indeed, ultrasound, you're not going to get color from an ultrasound because it's just physical barriers.
Right. Yes. Okay, so she can't tell. So that is going to be an exciting day for her.
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
When she's having the baby.
So when people say to her, "Are you going to find out what it is?"
She's
it means something completely different.
So, yeah, I mean, she doesn't sound that clever. The fact that if there's an ultrasound scan and it says that it's a boy, she'll be like, "Oh my god, it really takes after its father." She'll be starting to worry about that.
Well, she's going to see that ultrasound scan and think, "Oh, it is black." Because
no, it's white.
Shape.
It's white, isn't it? It's black for the background.
It depends on where you get it done.
Chelsea. So and they can do the 3D scans, but again, they colour in the 3D scans, don't they?
You were just advocating wild sex, and now you're criticizing someone for it.
No, I'm not criticizing.
And there were no kids, by the way.
You were saying
if there's a relationship with kids, don't do some sleeping around.
I haven't got a problem with anything that's happening here. Poor lady.
Really?
Don't cheat on people, basically. But if you do, whatever. And so, it's going to be tough.
If you do, you need to get a French letter.
I think it is. Wow, poor lady. She's going to have one hell of a day when it comes, isn't it? I mean, because either it's going to be like amazing, but then it's going to, but then she's going to feel guilty because she knows.
Yeah. And there'll be that moment where, you know, she finally gives birth and the boyfriend's there and it is his son or daughter and she'll go, phew. And that'll be a moment that's awkward that you can't explain that, can you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, should she tell her boyfriend, do you think?
I personally think if you you should be open.
If you love someone, you should admit that you might have.
And the other way around, I think she's the bit where she says, I can't have a termination because he knows. Well, why did you tell him? What the, you know, clearly you're not that far. If you're not that far in that you can still consider a termination, you might not be showing yet. Why was your first thing?
You've never been around a woman with baby brain, have you? Because it just goes.
What? Yeah, but so it might not be the dad. She's just that silly. She's forgetting who did what.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. There's studies and stuff, and my own anecdotal experience. That once they find,
are there studies and stuff, or is it just your?
I'm not going to Google it right now because that would be racist. But
so my theory, though, is that she's made a rod for her own back, and indeed. That's where the rod went now. And she...
If it had gone
are you
back,
doing extra bad puns just to annoy me?
Of course I am.
You're just trying to wind me up. Because you
nothing
know,
else to live for.
This is normally the goal.
You've got 15 minutes and I'm going to flip out. Stop doing puns!
I really can't help it. Yeah, no, she shouldn't have said. If you wanted to, you know, I can't have a termination because you've put yourself in a situation when you can't, you should have kept your mouth shut. Actually, no. Okay. The way next, we'll round stuff up.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Giving you a news one.
So here we are in the last 10 minutes of the show. Hello, I am Stephen Allen. This is Some News. This is FUBAR Radio. And it's been a fun one today because we've had Eric McIlroy, of course. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And Luke Toulson was with us today.
Hello.
And so now it's in the final home straight. We get like a... See how we done? Kind of like the telling off, the post-show debrief during the show. Sam, so how was it for you today? Did we do all right?
You were great today, I think.
Oh, really?
It was me who didn't pull my weight.
What did you do wrong today?
Well, there was the guest situation, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, I thought we had the guest on there. But he was an expert in drugs. You know what he's doing. He's reenacting Pulp Fiction somewhere. Why would he speak to us on the phone when he knows people? You know what I mean?
Right.
To the old.
So from now on, I'll know not to book drugs experts simply because we don't know what they might be up to.
I mean, I can't believe I had to say it out loud ever.
Right. But,
maybe not book druggies. Simple as that. And although I know I might not have been totally on the ball today. Well, I think you've had
about five button mishaps there.
I think
I
nailed it.
Professional.
You nailed it. Yeah.
I think. I nailed it.
Oh, you nailed it.
Oh yeah,
I'm
kiss-assing myself. Yeah.
Have you been doing yoga? How the hell have you reached? You're gonna burn in hell.
Incredibly happy with the nonsense I've given the good people of the internet.
If only you'd been actually speaking into the microphone.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. 10 minutes before the end of the show, I was talking into the wrong end of the microphone.
I didn't believe that you needed to be told I was going to go with that. Yeah, you're a pro. Why do you...
I'm not a pro at this.
You've spoken into a microphone before, haven't you?
Yeah, but these aren't the microphones we use on stage. My mic technique on stage is... very proficient.
You've got to be face on to the diaphragm. And Eric, give yourself a... No, that is a proper phrase. Look at the look on your face. That's fine. You can say it. How are you going to judge your own performance?
It was fine. I mean, after the blatant attack on my country of birth.
You
accent.
Started ropey, mate. You started ropey. And then we've had to then had a sort of playful racism throughout the show just to make up
But that's my style. I start borderline racist ropey. And then I'm burring around. That's
are you talking into
shtick.
The front of that thing there? So that's our own little wrap up of what we think we did today. Hey, if you disagree, keep those opinions to yourself. And right, so this is where we finish up by putting the words to write the definitive word. You throw some stuff at us, Sam. We'll deal with it. We'll bat it away, and some other sporting analogy that I don't really understand.
Okay, this week we'll start with this one. 4 out of 5 women don't shower every day, with some admitting they go 3 days without washing. So I need your opinion. Should we be showering every day, or is every other day acceptable?
I'm going to go and say it has to be every day. Of course it does. We live in a modern day world with showers. If I can get a 2-shower day, oh, it's a good day.
Yeah, Steve's not a good person to ask because he's obsessed. A clean freak.
And the good thing about a 2-shower day, it's a 2-pant day. fresh pair. You can't shower and go into same pants. You've got to do fresh pants. You're looking at me like I'm
Sam's
weird.
Sam's not.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. But yeah. I do think to myself, if I've done a 2-shower day, I am a little bit annoyed that I'm pulling on a new pair of pants because it's a waste. Yeah. That means extra washing.
Make sure you use the pants properly in the first half of the day.
What do you mean?
If you're gonna have a 2-shower, if you're gonna have a 2-shower day, and you know you're doing 2 pants, you put some ball sweat in there. I don't know how you do that. If you've got the ability to mentally focus on ball sweat, you know some people can meditate and lower their heart rate. I can do it with ball sweat.
Not Catholics, according to the priest earlier.
What's your opinion on showering?
I think, well, as far as the pants go, I mean, if they're boxers, you can wear boxers for like a week at a time before you change them because they're not actually touching the skin.
Are these statistics genuine? Out of 5 women.
I mean,
the vast majority of women out there haven't had a shower today.
But I mean, these stats always look like we might be attacking women. I guess the stats for blokes would be like a bloke maybe took a shower once. Yes. So in comparison, this is not woman bashing.
100% of men don't have a shower every day. Yeah, no, but that is extraordinary. That. I shows how little I know about women. I don't even know how often they've been showering.
If you've got yourself one of those 1 out of 5, you've settled down, you've made it. That's all you really try and do. My dad once took me to one side and say, Steve, try and find a woman who showers every day, settle down, have a nice life.
Yeah. I'm not looking for one in a million.
It's difficult to find.
Looking one in five.
I'm looking for
you're trying one in five.
Get down on one knee. You're a woman in 5. Which just makes it sound like you've got a busy week.
Brilliant.
So, any more stories? We can knock out the hat.
Another one that kind of relates to the first one. The Office for National Statistics has released data that shows 51% of people in England and Wales are single. Do you have any ideas why singletons now account for over half of the adult population? And that is for the first time, by the way. That's
right.
The first time that singles have overtaken those in a relationship.
And you're right, it is because they don't shower the dirty gits, isn't it? Why would you want to settle down with that? The stinky whatever they've got going on.
I mean, I have no idea what accounts for that. I mean, I'm guessing more people are single because I'm not single. And so they just think, what's the point of dating anyone because Eric's taken?
It's a good point.
Do you think it is because we are living longer, so more people are... You know, so actually we have more people who husbands or wives have died. So actually quite a lot of these singletons are just incredibly old widowers.
Yes, it's men's fault for dying
young.
5, 6 to 7 years earlier, isn't it?
That would be a big...
We've got a surplus of grannies, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Got a granny surplus.
Mighty fine.
Someone is happy about that.
No, I also, it's the messages we're told, isn't it? You can't see a film or possibly read a book or see a newspaper that doesn't have this message of you shouldn't settle, you got to make sure you get everything's got to be perfect and romantic like a comedy. If you live to those rules, you will end up single forever. If you don't understand that there is a chance you might end up with someone you don't always get along with, and there is at least an 80% chance that smelly git ain't going to shower every day, then you just need to learn to settle. If you ain't going to do that, you're going to die alone. And that's the end of the show. What a great vibe to end on. We'll be back next week, possibly. You never know if that's the kind of stuff we're bringing. And next Monday from 10 o'clock, Ray Peacock's on the way for you. Have a good one.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Ripping you a news one.